much about.
It's an honor for me to be here to discuss our top story tonight.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Nice, even strokes. Here's the big finish.
And it gets messy in a minute. Stand back now. I don't want to splatter you. I'm finishing it off. Come on, baby. There you go. And oh, yeah, all of a sudden.
Ooh, look at it start to come. Ooh, another one of them facials. Give it a little shimmy shake. Get some of that out. Oh, that one had a lot to give us, huh? Look at that.
Yummy.
It's very salty and very delicious. It comes out of your pores, so of course I always end up smelling like a salami, but it's so worth it. Ah, I just love it.
And now, Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. is a professional boxer, a fight promoter, the world's highest paid athlete, and a dick. Our feature presentation.
What, what was that woman talking about?
Rachel Ray cooking.
Yeah. Oh, it was?
Yeah.
It's all
yeah.
just cooking?
I haven't watched her in a while, but I will make a point to.
Yeah.
What were you? What did it sound like to you, Kevin?
Well, I mean,
I just thought it was a recipe. She was obviously making some dessert or something.
Get the recipe thing. I thought we were listening to porn. That's ridiculous. What a filthy mind you have.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's the 4th of May. May the 4th be with you.
Thank you.
Allie's not dressed as a stormtrooper, so whatever.
Yeah, no outfit today, Allie? What's up? I thought this was a holiday for you.
Well, I asked if everybody would be dressing up, and everyone
and
was like,
don't...
oh, yeah, I will. And then I knew you were lying,
right.
So I didn't want to be that person that showed up to the party, the only one dressed, and then you mock incessantly the whole
Well, we're going to mock you anyway. Now you're just...
Yeah, I might as well have been...
Yeah, I mean...
In my people's
you got to represent.
Ensembles. Yes, you're right.
I was looking forward to seeing your Princess Leia hair.
Oh, thank you.
Which, was that going to happen? In your Star Wars footy pajamas or whatever you were going to wear.
Which characters could you dress up as with the clothes that you currently own?
I have a Darth Vader, which is a Darth Vaderette outfit.
Okay.
I have a dress that's like C-3PO, but it's like a shorter dress.
Okay.
Which is cute. But the yellow, it really...
It clashes with
it just doesn't do good with my hair.
Eyes? Hair?
Yeah, okay. Thanks for noticing. and I, of course, have Princess Leia's white long dress with the Princess Leia hair. However, I am of Kevin's people, the large noggin.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So the wig barely fits over my head, and then there's nowhere to put all of my hair. So I've got the Princess Leia buns on both sides, and then a big chunk of hair bun in the back. It
well,
looks
if you're
insane.
Dedicated, you'd shave off your hair. put that. I mean, if you were a dedicated
yeah, that's
fan.
Very true.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, weird. happy Star Wars Day anyway.
Okay, all right.
Two things before we get going on today's excellent new Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, right? Chip, way to go.
Woohoo!
These ducks, by the way, they don't just win, they obliterate. Another shutout win last night for the Anaheim Ducks in round two against Calgary. Doesn't this remind you, Kevin, of was it the first run to the where they won the cup where the Kings just won everything? They were like 15-1 that season.
Well, I mean, it's sort of a shell of that season. Sure, if that's what you're saying,
it seems
I
very
saw the Tampa
similar.
Bay series. I didn't see any. The Ducks play.
Sure did.
Huh.
Played and won. And thing two, and I know we're going to be covering it from many angles today, but let's get started and talk about the fight. Kevin, your thoughts?
Boxing
first
is...
First of all, did you buy it?
I did.
Okay. Because I know you had vacillated all year long about, A, how can I miss it, but B, I hate Floyd Mayweather, so do I want to give him any money? But,
I hadn't bought his last three fights just because he annoys me, he doesn't fight, he doesn't put himself out there. I was surprised that he sort of fought and he sort of put himself out there.
Yeah, I don't think that some of the criticisms of the past were as applicable to this fight as well. I mean, he definitely threw a lot more punches and connected with a lot more punches than Manny Pacquiao did.
Yeah, he did wait until Pacquiao was past his prime, and he's not, even though he's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still just dull. I mean, just they had giant pillows on them. After you watch UFC for a while,
yeah,
it just looks like they have giant pillows, and they just... They barely touch each other. No one gets really hurt. If you get stunned for a quarter of a second. I don't know. It just seemed like it was so lame.
You wanted a knockout.
Well, I wanted something. I mean, just any. I mean, there was action, but mostly it was just covering up and dodging, you know, punches. And I don't know. It was just dull. It was very dull.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were disappointed. I mean, people, you know, I was thinking about this, and I haven't seen anyone make this comparison. Maybe it's because it's not valid, but I think people don't like defense. Whatever the sport is, people want offense. If people go to a – like if you watch the Cardinals, Kevin, play football and they lose 9-6,
yeah,
you go, that's a crappy game. Even though you don't blame whichever team who brought defense that was so good that they prevented the other team from scoring, you blame the people who didn't score. And that, and I blame Manny Pacquiao for not figuring out a way to beat Floyd Mayweather. I think it was on him. I think Floyd did exactly what he needed to do in terms of, you know, you hit the other guy and you don't get hit. Floyd's the best at that.
Yeah.
Just it didn't seem like Manny had that's his new nickname. Didn't seem like he came up with any kind of answers for that, even though he knew for all these years that was what was going to be needed. It didn't seem like he brought anything new to try. You know, and that's what was disappointing to me, I think.
Yeah. And could you understand a word Floyd Sr. was saying? Unbelievable, that guy.
He's not much of a pep talker in the corner, that's for sure.
He almost doesn't know what he's talking about anymore.
I just felt like he was yelling at his kid, like his kid was doing the best he could, and dad was getting up there and just criticizing him. Like, how about a little help? You know, it didn't seem like he was coming from a place of love either. It seemed like he was getting ready to send Floyd Jr. to his room.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very disappointing.
That whole family is bizarre.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, it's crazy. Floyd Mayweather went, look, make no mistake. I was rooting against Floyd Mayweather. I very much wanted Manny Pacquiao to win. I'm very disappointed that he didn't. But I have to tell you, to see how much Floyd Mayweather Jr. had left in the tank at the end of that fight to jump up and down like he did on the, you know, on the corners and strut and brag and all the other stuff that he was doing. I mean, he didn't look like a guy who just gone 12 rounds in a boxing fight. That's for sure.
But I see, again, I think that we compare that to the UFC where they fight for 5 minutes for three rounds and there's actual punching with actual fists and people get hurt and worn out. And by the time they're done, they're usually just destroyed energy wise.
Yep. I 100% agree. And I know you and others made the point that the UFC was the big winner after the fight
by
this
far,
weekend because, you know, every time they did start to get close to one another, like there was at one point, I think, where Manny even kind of grabbed him like around the waist or something like that. And of course, the ref is in there to, you know, to pull him away. And I was thinking, oh, this looks like he's making a UFC move for a brief second. It looks like he's gonna try something else.
He grabbed Pacquiao's head like 10 times and the ref just kept going, hey, let's watch that. Grabbing the head. I was like, hey, how about deducting a point or anything?
That's what I kept thinking. I kept being very surprised that they didn't take any points as many times as Floyd did that. But yeah, that would have been cool to see his UFC fight. That's for sure.
But
Allie, what'd you think, by the way?
I luckily was hosting an event, so I didn't see any of it. But I wouldn't put a dime in Mayweather's
That's
pocket.
How I felt as well.
Ever.
But then when it got down to it, I thought, well, I'm also putting money in Pacquiao's.
No, right. I wouldn't put money in boxing's pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, I sort of had
to. No, I get that. I get that. And Floyd says he's going to fight again in September, and he says that's it. Then he's done, right? At 49-0, he's going to walk away from it as a young man without brain damage.
He might punch a woman in between then, though. So
that's true. Let's
be open to that.
He is a bad human being.
Yes.
That's true.
As our friend Jed had tweeted over the weekend, the thing to remember about Floyd Mayweather is he takes his work home with him. Sad comment, but a great line. All right. Well, we'll talk about that more later. And, of course, a lot of our listeners, not to steal your thunder here, Kevin, to promote the show, but a lot of our listeners, of course, thought, oh, you guys got to talk to Jimmy Kimmel and his role in the fight. And, of course, that's happening today.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That was astonishing.
Jimmy Kimmel came out with Pacquiao, and we're going to talk to him about that today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also have Grant Gustin, who's a little guy by the name of The Flash.
Grant.
What was there a duck?
What did I say?
No, that was great, but there was a random duck during that.
I think he said Grant.
Yeah, that was Dave from the other room.
Did I say that wrong?
Oh, it sounded like a duck.
I thought you said Grant.
I thought I said Grant Gustin.
Sounded like Greg in here.
Greg.
Of course it sounded like Greg to you. Jeez.
Shut up, Valley.
So now Dave can't hear vowels either.
Although, to be honest, he's right to question me whenever I say anything.
I think we got your back on this one,
right,
Mikey.
Roger Funches is going to be on the program today talking about Undateable.
I don't believe it's
Ron.
Roger.
Nope. Ron.
Check that, yeah.
Ron. Dan O'Toole and Jay Onwright from Fox Sports 1 are going to be here.
Those guys are great.
They are great. Very funny together.
Talking all sports, including the fight, including the NHL, including the NBA.
Yeah, how about those Clippers? Way
it's
to go,
Clappers.
Dave.
How about
those Clappers,
that?
Yeah.
We're going to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays, and we have tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015 in the front row, and we're going to give you a chance to win those coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening
ducks.
To the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Those ducks.
Congratulations on your ducks, Ralph.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
They are not your ducks, Ralph.
They're
not your ducks.
They're not your ducks.
You're a Flyers fan. You always have been.
But ducks are my jam.
They're not your jam.
Need a team for the playoffs.
That's right.
There you go. Hey, how was your weekend, sir?
It was busy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get together with your band?
Glad to come back this Monday and just relax. Just kick back. Get some sleep.
Close your eyes a little bit. Lay down on the couch.
It's so nice to be here. I can just put it on cruise control, kick my feet back, and just go to Racine, Wisconsin.
Oh, my God. Right?
Right?
Right.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Well, Bean does.
Okay.
And so do many other fine-thinking Americans.
It's private, Kevin.
All right.
It's not for you. A little message, like Kyle Burnett tugging on her ear. You know.
Right. Another good reference.
Right. As expected, Age of Ultron dominated the weekend box office. However, it's a failure. The movie's a failure because it did not break the record for biggest opening weekend that Avengers 1 owns. So
well, why did they bother making it then if it couldn't be the biggest box office opening of all time?
Losers! Instead of making $207 million as expected, it made just $187.7 million for its opening weekend.
I think that's still great.
Failure! Lose! It's amazing to watch the comments over the weekend. People saying, well, here it is. This is the beginning of superhero movie fatigue. No one wants to go see these movies anymore. It's on the downside.
At 187 million, people say?
Yes, people predicting doom and gloom for the genre now because it didn't break all box office records.
Dumb.
Pretty busy Saturday, too, for people to not go to the movie.
A lot of people saying it's because of the fight and the Kentucky Derby and NBA playoffs that it cut into the Age of Ultron's box office a little bit. So we'll wait and see what it makes at the end of the ride. But a great film and a great opening weekend. With $187.7 million. I don't know how Joss Whedon does it when he just takes so many characters who demand attention and just juggles them all flawlessly. And then adds a couple more in this one. I just thought it was a terrific movie. Really well done.
Losers.
Age of Adeline came in at second with a strong $6.3 million.
Wow.
So a little drop off there from one to two.
Did you say 178?
187. $187.7 million.
Wow.
$6 million. Just a little bit of a drop off to number two there. Number three to the left. Furious 7 was third with $6 million. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
That's hanging.
Made $5.6 million at number four. Then Home, the animated film from DreamWorks. Very entertaining. Fifth, Cinderella Ex Machina.
So
Unfriended,
good.
The Longest Yard, The Longest Ride, and Woman in Gold were the rest of your top 10 movies. Not that it matters after $187.7 million. As I mentioned, Avengers is number one for opening weekends with $207.4 million, the first Avengers. And then Iron Man 3 comes in right behind that with $174 million in its opening weekend. So Avengers Age of Ultron bested that. And then Harry Potter and the Deadly Hallows, $169 million is the...
That was the final one?
Beginning of the final two films.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Speaking of movies, looks like Anthony Anderson has been added to cast of Barbershop 3. A lot of this is going to be a star-powered film, no matter what you think about whether it's needed or not. A lot of big entertainers are going to be in this film.
Bitchin'.
Just been added.
I thought those movies were good, by the
way. They are entertaining.
Barbershop movies.
Yes.
Did you see them?
I did.
Huh.
I saw one and two as well. I think they're rather entertaining.
Very entertaining.
It's happening.
Well.
It's a popular franchise, Kevin. Yeah,
not
everything
I know,
has,
but there's a lot of popular franchises.
Because I'm not black, I can't watch Barbershop.
Not you, Bean.
Oh. Because Bean's not black, he can't watch Barbershop.
Yes.
But you know how he is. Bean's down with the homies.
Sure.
Don't you know me?
Sure.
Plus, let's never forget my relationship with Queen Latifah, too.
That's so. Right. I think you asked us, let me try to think. I believe you asked us all to hail her because she
from
was the star.
Too, all hail Queen Latifah.
I did, in fact.
That's right. We had to hail her. Bean demanded it. You're going to be shocked to find out that some women have come forward and accused Bill Cosby of sexual assault.
Oh, still more?
On Friday, two more women.
That barely makes the news, by the way.
Someone I know.
Is accusing Bill Cosby of sexual assault. You might not even hear about it anymore.
It's an asterisk. It's like they just have one of those deli counter now serving signs behind them, and they just pull the chain and just flips the numbers over, and it's like a tote board. Then everybody goes about their business.
What are we up to now? Do we know, Ralph? 40-something,
this
right?
This is 40.
Up to 40 now,
yeah,
right?
Up to 40 now. Lily Bernard is an actress, actually, who appeared in an episode in the final season of The Cosby Show. Claimed that she was drugged and raped and threatened by Cosby while he was mentoring her in preparation for her appearance on that show. That's charming. And then a young lady named Sammy May says she was a writer at a TV convention in New Orleans in the 80s when Cosby agreed to an interview. She went to his hotel, accepted a drink, you know the modus operandi by now. And then when she woke up, she was confused and only partially dressed as Cosby stared down at her. She quickly composed herself and left, but... So, yeah, we're at 40 now in terms of women who have accused him of this behavior.
Where's your story, Allie?
Luckily, I think I was too young. And, wow, he is a scumbag.
Yeah.
Look, again, these are all allegations. Nothing has been proven. But if I've said to people who have tried to defend him to me in the past, if one of them is telling the truth, then that's enough, right?
Right. Yes, it is.
What do you think they're going to call the new princess, Kevin? You ever thought about it?
I've not.
William and Kate's baby?
I just hate that whole thing.
Kevin has cartoon hate for the British monarchy for some reason.
I know, I love babies. It's
Kevin hates
the monarch.
The royal family.
The royal family's stupid.
It's inexplicable.
It's stupid.
His passionate hatred for a group of people that have nothing to do with
this baby is unbelievably special. Because why, Ralph? Why is this baby more special than most?
Because she's part of the royal family.
Oh, that's why.
She's part of a lineage that will continue to be monarchs in that country for ongoing generations.
Which is incredibly stupid. It really is.
She is... One day she will be a heartbeat away from being queen.
Right.
If something happens
stupid,
to George, she becomes queen.
That's right.
My whole point. The queen, the whole thing is stupid.
What's that?
It's stupid.
Any more or less stupid.
Why does Kevin hate royalty?
Because it's stupid.
It's not stupid. It's just that...
I'm better than you because I was born a royal.
I don't think anyone says they're better or worse than anyone else. That's the way the power is handed down.
Stupid.
They're actually just born into a job is what it is.
Right. And you know, Kevin, for a long time, that's how all countries operate.
And then they went, well, that's dumb. Let's stop doing that. Well,
I don't think anyone said that's dumb.
I think they did.
They just said it's a different...
Were you there?
Let's create a different form of representational government.
I mean, it would be like in this country if all of a sudden we just assumed Bushes or Clintons continue to be president.
But they at least have to try and win the vote. Stupid. Dumb. Back to you.
Anyway, Alice is,
Alice,
is the leading contender.
Oh, my God. That's such a great
name.
Royal name.
I just like to stir Kevin up.
It's just dumb.
Because it's a disproportionate amount of hatred. For people who really have no effect on you or your life at all. It's as if the royal family kicked down your door and killed your dog in front of you and then stole all your strawberry ice cream. It's like that level of hatred.
Let's not get crazy.
I mean, I
go on the
really
warpath,
don't understand why you dislike them so much. It's inexplicable to me. But it's entertaining.
Kevin, I've had it.
Sorry, Rodney.
All these celebrities were born on today. May the 4th be with you.
Ralph, what's your take on Allie pointing that out, that we're supposed to dress up today? Because
I don't see her wearing a costume.
That's my point. Like, how do you take... I thought she would come in and represent.
Right.
Nope.
Where's the Slave Leah bikini?
Oh, nobody
right?
wants to see that. We not even want. On radio.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
You're such a big liar.
Yeah, it's true.
Ashley Rickards, Jenna from Awkward, turns 23 years old today. Lance Bass is 36. Erin Andrews, sports reporter? is 37 years old. Mike Dirt, from Green Day is 43 years old today. Will Arnett turns 45. And the spry Mick Mars of Motley Crue, I think he's doing some CrossFit today to celebrate his 64th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday mornings, about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show every week, we catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How's it going, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Did you see the story out of Philadelphia about that guy who stabbed his brother to death after fighting about the boxing match Saturday night?
Yeah, but you knew stuff like that was going to happen, right?
Yeah. Just not in the ring.
I'm surprised Vegas was as quiet as it was.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, Harvey. I did not hear too much. You would expect somebody to get shot at a stoplight after an event like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought this was just going to be so incendiary with all the people there drinking, you know, sore losers, people pissed.
Look, I wasn't surprised, of course, to see Mark Wahlberg, and I wasn't surprised to see a bunch of the athletes that were there, and, Denzel Washington, of course, was there. Why was Paris Hilton at the fight, Harvey?
Why do you think Paris Hilton?
Yeah, for the reason you think, being because she wanted to be seen.
Well, did you see when they cut away to her? Did you see them? Can I ask you guys something? Look, I'm not a big boxing fan. I like UFC,
right?
But I'm not a big boxing fan. But the thing about this fight, it's like, and I love Jim Lampley. I mean, I've known Jim a long time. But all these guys, they were talking. In round one, oh, Mayweather's winning this. Mayweather's going to win. Mayweather's like, Pacquiao can't, and it's like, quiet.
Yeah, it was very one-sided commentary. It was.
And maybe it was all true, but it was just, it almost took the steam out of it for me.
Yeah, I agree, and a lot of people were making that complaint, and also because they've got, HBO's got their own unofficial scorekeepers, there wasn't any suspense left how the judges were likely to rule every round, because they pretty much told you with every round what the score would be.
I know.
So in terms of building the excitement, they didn't do a lot to help it.
No, but on the upside, I made delicious salmon.
Wow, I didn't realize that was on the upside. Okay.
Well, you have to eat while you're watching.
Sure. Right? Okay, well, so delicious salmon. Put one in for Harvey.
Congratulations.
Did you see that on the site? Weird. Okay.
So, Harvey, let me ask you this, and you have this up on the site, too. I was so surprised at the end of the fight. First of all, I hate Floyd Mayweather and wanted him to lose, and I was very disappointed that he didn't. But I have to tell you that he was very complimentary and very gracious with Manny Pacquiao and called him out as a champion, and he gave him a good fight and blah, blah, blah. But then they give the mic to Manny afterwards, and he's like, I thought I won the fight. Where did that come from? How on earth could he think he had won that fight?
He's not the only one. His aunt, we got her coming out of the hotel on Sunday, yesterday, and she said this fight was fixed. She said that somebody got paid off, that Manny won the fight. And, I mean, she was strong, and the cousins were there, too. They said the same thing.
Who was she suggesting could have been paid off, though?
She didn't say. She just said that it was a fixed fight.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Is it?
Oh, of course it's ridiculous.
It is. It's absurd.
The Manny one was the shot. You know, hey, okay, here's the only theory I can give you is this, that they're looking across the ring and they're watching Floyd Mayweather's father screaming at him after every round. So they're thinking, oh, maybe we did better than we thought.
Yeah. Floyd Sr. looked like he had no idea what he was talking about. And I was trying to understand what he was saying, and it wasn't possible. That was one of the weirdest things that we've ever seen. Jimmy Kimmel came in with Pacquiao, for God's sakes.
What was that? I mean, I guess he's been on the show. That was good for Kimmel.
He's been on the show a bunch.
And Burger King?
Yes. I mean, how much do you think? Find out for us how much Floyd got paid to have Burger King in his entourage. Seriously.
I'll bet you it was $5 million.
I wouldn't be surprised. No.
I mean, I really mean it, because that guy was fun. The funny one was Bieber got completely swallowed up in the crowd as he was walking around.
Yeah, that was just not noticed.
Yep. Hey, look, if Burger King paid $5 million for that, don't you? I think that was worth it. I think they got $5 million worth of publicity out of that.
Well,
maybe.
I mean, are you going to buy a hamburger because of that?
No.
I'm not going to because of that.
Really, Ellie?
Yeah.
All right, Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com. Real quick before you go, because you just posted this Kylie Jenner photo of this is Bruce Jenner driving? Is that what I'm looking at?
No. It's Kylie. She's 17 years old, right?
Right.
she's got one accident under her belt already.
Right.
She's being sued for it. So she's taken an Instagram photo in her car and while she's driving on the freeway. And she,
what could go wrong?
She says, born and raised, and I'll probably die here. Now, the question, is she talking about Calabasas or the freeway?
Yeah.
She's taking this picture. And the other thing is, and look, I mean, the prosecutors are supposed to prosecute based on what an individual does. But there are politics in every prosecutor's
sure.
office. There just are. So here, Bruce Jenner is under investigation right now for vehicular manslaughter. It's pretty clear he caused that car accident on PCH where somebody died. Right now, I don't think he's going to get prosecuted because he was inattentive. And, you know, you can get sued for that, but usually you don't prosecute somebody criminally.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden, she's making it look like the whole family doesn't give a crap about driving laws.
And by the way, the whole family doesn't give a crap about the driving laws.
Well,
I think
that
it's
may
pretty
be true.
It's a universal.
It may be true, but the point is, it's like your dad is right now under investigation.
Yeah,
calm it down for about a month.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now's the time to make it look like we take driving laws very seriously.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I know that they incrementally keep passing laws around the country. First they say you're not allowed to text, and then they say you're not allowed to do this on your phone, that on your phone. You're really not allowed to do anything on your phone when you're driving, including taking photographs in most places, right?
Well, you're allowed to dial in a lot of states. I mean, there's a big phone lobby, and you can't text, but you're still allowed to dial. But
gotcha.
You have to use a Bluetooth to talk.
Well, Kylie
did, kind of weird.
Kylie didn't need to be taking a photo while she was driving. I think that's your point.
I'm sorry, but she's a Jenner. Don't they take pictures of all things they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess our biggest surprise should be that the camera was faced out of the car and not into the driver's seat, I guess.
All right, Harvey, I know you have to go, and I know Bean's going to wrap it up. But before we do, Mama June is a stripper in Florida. I'm just bringing that up. You put it on your site.
Enough said.
All right.
Enough said indeed. Kevin, you can't wait to get there and see some of that, right?
I got
to
give me some of that.
TMZ.com, all over the Fox Channel 11, of course, and TMZ Hollywood Sports. There's Monday through Friday at 3 on the Reels channel. They do great work there. Harvey, you're the best, man. Have a great week.
Thanks, you too, guys.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's give away some tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, E-Fiesta, 2015.
That'll be here before you know it. That is in less than
2 weeks,
I want to say,
right? A week from Saturday, yeah.
So May 16th at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Tickets went on sale Friday at noon. They completely sold out in an hour. Thank you so much for that. If you want to win them, it's not going to be easy. That's the hint I'll give you. But if you're a fan of the bands that are playing at the K-Rock Weenie Roast this year, your Death Cab for Cutie and your Florence and the Machine, your Monsters and Man Panic at the Disco, and so much more, call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. You get a chance to earn your way into the Weenie Roast next on K-Rock. How about front row seats for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015 coming up on Saturday, May 16th at Irvine Meadows. It's not an easy game, though. In fact, it's awfully, awfully hard. Hit it, Steve!
In a world where some games are easy and some are really, really hard, one game will rise up and shock the world, proving once and for all it is the super duper hardest.
Yeah.
From the feeble minds of Kevin and Bean, the producers of The Hardest Game in the World, comes a game so hard it will make you your pants.
Wow.
K-Rock Radio, in association with 20th Century Lemur, presents a really, really hard game starring Hardy McDifficult and Tough Von Baffling. It's The Revenge of the Son of the Hardest Game in the World, Part 2, 2.0, The Wrath of Hard and the Goblet of Fire Reloaded. Music by Eddie Money, soundtrack available on Really Hard Records. Rated PG-71. No one will be admitted after the start of the game.
Yeah!
Wow! Do we have Mr. Announcer Man on the line?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean!
I don't want to read too much into the intro there, but Mr. Announcerman, this game does not sound easy.
It's hard!
All right, we have callers on the line. They're trying to win their way into the Weenie Roast. What do they need to know, sir?
We will play for you a piece of a hit song from one of the artists performing at this year's Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. All you need to do is identify the artist and the name of the song.
Okay, so we're going to play it.
Oh, wait a minute, I forgot! It'll be backwards.
Yeah!
Well, that just makes it so much harder.
It's hard.
Title and artist of the song, you've heard it a million times here on K-Rock, and you just have to tell us what it is, and you go into the drawing to win the tickets. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
Coming up first is Dennis from North Hollywood. He's a mechanic, which, as you know, is mob speak for murderer.
Wow. Dennis, I'm sorry that we had to out you like that.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good, thank you. You ready for your song?
Yes, I am.
All right, we're only going to play these once, and it's backwards. Good luck. That doesn't seem so hard.
Death Cab for Cutie?
Yes. Song title?
You're a Tourist?
Oh, so close, yet so far, no.
Soul Meets Body, sorry.
Dennis. Nice try, though. Thank you, Dennis. Who's next?
Now we're all going to be murdered. Next up is Jose from Van Nuys. He's an IT worker. He works IT.
I think it's IT.
Oh, yeah. That makes more sense.
Hi, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here's your song.
Hello?
Yep.
Jose?
Hello, he said.
Yeah, this is where you tell us something.
Yeah. Is it Florence and the Machine?
Yes. It is? Yeah. Song title?
Dog Days Are Over?
Yeah! Yes! Wow, how many of us thought he was going to get that?
None.
Well done, sir. Hang on, Jose. You are in the drawing. Okay, one and one. Who's up next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Steve from Azusa. He's a lab tech. He works on Labradors.
I think you're misreading that.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
All right. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You ready for your song?
Absolutely.
Good luck. Mr. Announcer Man, this is not a very difficult game.
They're the exact same, backwards and forwards.
They certainly are.
Who knew? Hi, Steve. Tell us the artist and the song title.
AOL Nation Sale.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, we could play that one backwards. No one would ever be able to tell the difference. That's true. All right, well done. You're in the drawing. Sir, who's up next, Mr. Announcer Man?
It's David from Lakewood. He's in the probation department, so you better watch out.
Hey, David.
David, you haven't met Kevin and Bean before, have you?
Sorry, I was just taking a picture outside my window in my car.
All right. Listen up. Nice title and artist. Here's your song backwards from one of the acts that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Rose. If yes, so good luck. Yes,
it's Muse?
Yes. Song title? Kevin.
How about that?
Did he say Dead Inside?
He sure did. How about that?
By the way, that was a little harder than the rest, I think.
Yeah.
Well done.
He did it. Good job. Well done.
All right.
Next up is Rob from La Habra. He's a teacher.
Hey, Rob.
Good morning, guys.
What do you teach?
I teach history.
And how's that going? The kids love history, don't they?
Oh, man, they're so into it. It's awesome.
they just can't wait to hear about that Civil War every morning.
All right, here's your song.
Monsters and Men?
Song
yes.
title?
Mountain Song?
Oh.
Sorry,
that was
dang it.
A little hard. Don't listen to a word
I said. That one's called Little Talks, but nice try. Thanks. Have a good day at school, man. We appreciate it. We got time for one more, I think, Mr. Announcer Man.
Coming up next is Art from La Puente. He's a machinist, which, you know, is mob speak for murderer.
Is it? Is that a second? Really? I've never heard that.
What'd it do, Kevin and Bean?
Hey, Art, you ready
What'd
for your do? Song?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, good luck.
Exactly the same reference as backwards.
It's Vance Joy?
Yes.
Yes.
Song title?
Name any of those huge Vance Joy songs.
Title of that song is?
I don't know.
The name of the song is? Oh, I'm
so sad, Art. Does the name... You okay, Mr. Announcer Man?
Mr. Announcer Man.
You all right?
Oh, I'm better now.
Oh, man. No, no.
Announcer Man, I love you, though.
He loves Announcer Man. Good.
It was called Riptide is the song you were looking for.
Yeah. Burning down to the
riptide. All right. That was my first name in radio. Riptide in the morning.
All right. I feel bad for Art, but that's the way the game is played. Jose was able to do it, Steve as well, and David. But only one can win tickets in the front row for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Jose.
Jose, yay! The first guy we... Yay! Well done, Jose.
Woo! I love you guys.
We'll see you a week from Saturday. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Monday morning. So much show still to come from Fox Sports 1. Dan O'Toole and Jay Onrider are going to be joining us in studio coming up next hour. Huge weekend in sports just behind us. Comedian actor Ron Funchess on the program today. We'll talk to Jimmy Kimmel as part of Manny Pacquiao's entourage from the fight Saturday night. And Ralph, have you heard that Grant Gustin's going to be on with us today?
I know.
He's the Flash.
Allen.
He's the Flash. Anyway, a lot of shows still to come. Here's Ralph now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Sad news. Sometimes you got to break sad news on the Showbiz Beat, and this is one of those times.
Okay.
One of my original TV crushes has passed away, Grace Lee Whitney, who's known far and wide to Star Trek fans everywhere as Yeoman Rand from the original series, passed away today. Grace Lee Whitney was only on, I don't know, a handful of episodes in the first season.
Eight.
Of Star Trek. But she became one of the faves of Star Trek fans everywhere because she was smoking hot.
She sure was.
And she had a tiny little mini skirt on in space with go-go boots, and boy, did we dig it the most. She passed away at 85 this week. She developed an alcohol problem after leaving the cast of Star Trek. She became a recovering alcoholic, spent the last 35 years of her life helping others with addiction problems, often at women's correctional facilities or with the Salvation Army. So she dedicated her life to helping others.
Did she never act again, Ralph?
She did in bits and pieces throughout the 60s and early 70s, but mostly she focused on her recovery and helping others get sober as well. So It was a life of service for her, and she was a great lady by all accounts. But, of course, to Trekkers, she will be remembered as Yeoman Rand. And as a little send-off, here's a little piece of a song from a great band called Warp 11.
Warp 11.
Which is known as probably the quintessential Star Trek band.
Sure.
All they do is record songs about Star Trek.
Right.
Here's a little taste of their song, Yeoman Rand.
She had a digital clipboard as she walked down the hall. And when she looked at the bridge crew, she knew that she could have sex with them all.
Band you should join, Ralph.
Rest in peace, Grace.
Worst thumb.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office as we do on a Monday morning. A little movie called Avengers Age of Ultron just barely edged out the second place holder here on the list to make number one this weekend. Age of Adeline, the second place, made $6.3 million. Avengers Age of Ultron made $187.7 million.
That seems like a lot.
That's a big weekend. Did you see the film, Kevin?
I did.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Really outstanding.
Loved it.
Joss Whedon, he just knows what he's doing. Furious 7 was third. Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2 was fourth. Home was fifth. Bean, what'd you think of the movie? What'd you think of Avengers Age of Ultron?
I haven't made it yet.
What?
I'm shocked. Didn't see it.
You're Mr. First Weekend.
I think I might.
Oh, wait a minute. You wait till they come to your house with a print of the film and show it in the back of your barn, don't you?
That's usually how you see
a movie.
You haven't seen the first one, have you?
I've not yet. I'm getting
to that. You're getting to that.
I haven't yet, though.
Holy crap.
I will.
You're a mess. Cinderella was sixth.
Open up a blog.
Ex Machina was seventh. Unfriended, The Longest Ride, and Woman in Gold were your top 10 movies
Ex Machina might get me out of the house, you guys.
Nope.
It's
that
awesome.
Might be the one.
It won't.
But Ralph, it does have hot chick robots.
It does
robot
have
sex.
Robot sex. Yeah,
that's
that
my
might
thing.
Be the thing.
So that might be the one.
A little gentleman by the name of Barack Obama will be a special guest on tonight's Late Show with David Letterman. That's pretty strong.
His show has been pretty strong. He's been playing clips of guests and stuff like that. It's been really fascinating to watch.
It'll be Obama's third time on The Late Show with Dave and his eighth time overall. Will Ferrell is also scheduled to appear along with the Abbott Brothers and Brandi Carlile. So you can check that out as Dave counts down his final shows. May 20th will be his final show. So
is tonight the primetime special, Ralph?
I don't believe so,
don't
but maybe.
So. Okay.
I don't know.
I knew it was
ask?
Coming up. I thought cause I knew it was coming up. I thought, and there can't be, you know, there's not much time left before he retires. I thought that tonight, it was tonight, but I guess not.
Speaking of legendary television, a little sad news. Bean, you have some taps? You got a little taps?
I'll find you some taps.
Give me some taps. It's the end of an era. It's the end of a show that's been around as long as I can possibly remember. But it's been officially announced today by the Muscular Dystrophy Association. That there will be no more Labor Day Telethon.
No!
Jerry Lewis's MDA Labor Day Telethon has been a staple in television for lo these many years, but the MDA has announced that they will now focus on digital fundraising efforts and trying to make people do stuff like ALS did with that, putting ice water on your head. That was pretty cool, they said.
It's quite a statement.
Did Mr. Lewis have a comment?
Nope. Not a thing. Just quiet. Didn't say anything to
really?
Us.
Really?
Unless you guys want to call him. You want to call him later on tonight?
We'd rather not.
Say, you sure?
I think
that's
it's good. Not allowed.
We got his number, I think.
We don't have his number.
I think we have it someplace around. I remember we used it once.
We
I think
did
we had
one
it
time,
here.
But we've been told that didn't happen.
We don't have it?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Apparently, the Labor Day Telethon last year just raised $56.9 million. Meanwhile, the Ice Bucket Challenge raised $100 million last year. So now they're going to spend all their time trying to come up with BS things for people to do on the internet, I guess. And they're going to S-cam the telethon.
Telethon was awesome for a number of years, by the way.
There was a time.
But it was great.
When the biggest stars in the world appeared on that show. I know it's hard to believe because in recent memory, you just think of,
it was terrible.
It was just Jack Jones and Jeff Dunham. That's all I can remember.
It fizzled out, definitely.
Yeah. But it used to be like Sinatra, and I mean, the biggest of the bigs would be on that show. And Jerry be out there 24 hours, like, getting all loopy and taking his bow tie off. And just crazy.
One of your memories about him is that he took his bow tie off.
Well, he did, because as the 24 hours wore on, the tuxedo would start off very crisp and very clean, and then the bow tie would be open, and the shirt would be open, and then Jerry would be out there smoking and drinking. It was good times, man. It's another era. Today's celebrity birthdays. Motley Crue guitarist Mick Mars is 64 years old today. But he's a well-preserved 64. He's a spry 64.
He doesn't look a day over 94.
No, he doesn't. He needs to be carbon dated so they can find out his actual age. Will Arnett, very funny, talented man, is 45 years old. Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt is 43. Aaron Andrews, who is a sports reporter of sorts.
Someone you want to go to Las Vegas with, right, Kevin?
Oh. Wow, Kevin. Wow. Yeah.
Jared Stoll's girlfriend. She was there buying and selling drugs or whatever was going on at that L.A. Kings party.
She's awful, by the way.
Why do you hate
her? You ever watch her on when she tries to do sports reporting?
She's
lovely.
She's a sideline reporter.
She's awful. She's awful. Awful.
I didn't have any...
Not good.
Okay.
She's not very good. What she does! She's 37 years old today. Lance Bass is 36. And Ashley Rickards. She plays Jenna on Awkward. She's funny
like
and nice and stuff.
Definitely.
She's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Nirvana, by the way, watch the documentary on HBO tonight, Montage of Heck.
Debuts
so
tonight,
good.
Yeah.
Debuts tonight. Yeah, yep. We had Brent Morgan in, the director, a couple of weeks ago talking about it, and it's just we all got the chance to see it. It's just fantastic. You will love it. If you have any kind of passing interest in Nirvana, definitely check it out. It's unlike anything you've ever seen before. All right, professional sports broadcasters just joining us in studio from Fox Sports 1. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Onright and Dan O'Toole are here.
That's the most misguided introduction we've ever received.
First time we've ever been called professional.
Nobody's ever called us that.
You guys are completely legit. Welcome to our country, and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
It's great to be in the country. We've been here 2 years, so I assume we won't be deported, but who knows?
Yeah. It's great to be up this early, and I saw a prostitute on the way here.
Yes!
What?
Yes. Right! Nice.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, saw, drove by, quote unquote.
By the way, those Monday morning 6 a.m. shift girls are best.
They're the prime prostitutes.
That's
top
the best.
Can you give me the Monday morning slot? That's where I'd like to be.
Why don't you share with us, sir, where this young lady was working?
Because
you
might want to morning commuters.
She was underneath a train overpass.
Okay. Okay. Were you in Los Angeles?
I'm not positive if he was sleeping.
We used to joke when I in the early days of this show, I briefly lived in Hollywood for a while, and it was kind of a sketchy neighborhood there, south of Franklin on Argyle. I used to just refer to it as my crack hell apartment. And there was a girl that I used to see. Kevin, how many times did I come in and say, yep, she was out today? She had the sign up that says $5 for 5 minutes, and that was how I could have started every morning. But pretty good deal right there.
Whoa. $5, 5 minutes. You can't beat that anyway.
Not too bad, right?
No.
Not too bad.
Let's be honest. We don't need more than that.
All right. Well, let's talk about you guys for a second here. You're on Fox Sports Live every night at 8 o'clock. A day like today, where are you even going to start when you get on the broadcast tonight? Because can you remember ever there being a weekend with more sports happening than this past?
Oh, man. Not really. I mean, Saturday was incredible. In fact, Toolsy here, and by the way, Toolsy. We all call him Toolsy.
All right.
Yeah, everyone in Canada gets a hockey player nickname,
I
right?
Like it.
So Bean would be Beaner, and Kevin would be like Kevy, you know, like so.
Really,
like that.
Kevy?
Yeah, Kevy.
That's lame.
Yeah, well, you just add a Y to everything or an ER, whichever
okay.
works. But Toolsy here came up with Super Sports Saturday, which is it was incredible.
We did the Kentucky monster Derby. Truck. Sound to it. We did Super Sports Saturday every time we mention it.
Yeah, I like it.
There's so much going on, so it was fun. I think the Kentucky Derby needs to get whiter, though. Bob Baffert, the winning trainer, I want him in a Boss Hog suit next year's running of the Kentucky Derby just to make it a little whiter.
I don't follow horse racing at all. But that guy, the trainer that you just mentioned, this is the fourth time he's won the Kentucky Derby. So he's pretty dialed in, that guy.
I think it was the first time, Beaner, that he brought his kids. And did you see his son went absolutely bananas when that horse won? And I thought, has that kid ever been let out of the house? Ever?
He's allowed at the stable and his home.
Saturday Night Live did a sketch about the fight this weekend, and it was very funny because they were making fun of NBC carrying hockey, golf, and the Kentucky Derby in one day, and they said it was the whitest day in the history of professional sports, and I think they might be onto something.
We've got a handful of black players in the NHL, okay? We're very proud of
it. It is funny, though, how everybody throws in, you got the Mayweather fight in the NHL, and then they throw in the Kentucky Derby.
I
just think, I don't have any interest in that.
I know.
And then, is it a sport? I guess it's a sport.
It's more of a spectacle, Kevin.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a spectacle. It's like, you know, it's 2 minutes.
I feel like it's more about the women's hats than it is anything else.
Yeah. What are they called again, Allie? What are they called?
Hats?
No,
they're
like protractors or...
Oh, fascinators?
Fascinators, right.
What?
Not a protractor then?
That pull?
What? That's a word?
Yeah. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Did you see? Yeah, and Johnny Weir was, not surprisingly, wearing one that was, it would look like it was like a bowl of fruit on his head.
And did you guys see Tom Brady's new fashion? He was wearing the tie inside the shirt. The
like a waiter.
The tie was inside the shirt. Like it was not around the collar. It was touching his bare skin.
Oh,
so I've never seen that. But it's Tom Brady. He does whatever the hell he wants.
Tom Brady.
Here's the thing.
Did
you see Gronk?
Gronk.
I saw him with his glasses. Yeah.
Out of control. Wes Welker just sweating. I don't know why. That was.
He's probably on Molly.
Yeah.
He's just coming down from his Molly trip.
Hey, Allie, why does a guy like Tom Brady go to the Kentucky Derby? He can't care about that.
Well, no, it was him, Amendola, Edelman, Gronk. It was like a team building effort.
Brady went from there to the fight.
Which
is pretty cool. And he was gunned at the fight for sure.
Like he was barely keeping it together.
Yeah, that's a better way.
Get him relaxed. Back to Gronk. If Gronk had just walked up and punched the winning horse in the face, would anyone have said anything to Gronk?
No.
He could probably get away with it.
Yeah, they'd be like, Gronk, being Gronk.
That was the right thing to do.
Then you high-five him.
Bro. This is the voice of Jay Unright and Dan O'Toole from Fox Sports 1 here on the Kevin Devine Show. We're covering so many sports in bits and pieces, but let's stop for a moment and talk about the fight. That says it all, right?
Yeah.
You were disappointed, I take it?
I thought... I was convinced, I was trying to convince myself, I'm like, no, this isn't going to be your typical Floyd Mayweather fight. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we all wanted it to be so, because we waited so long for it.
Was, yeah. Every time you watch a Floyd Mayweather fight, you're like, how does he make this much? How do we pay to see him fight?
Yeah, because no he's sense. Always wins. Great. Yeah, he's technically great.
He is technically great.
So for a boxing purist, it's a great thing to watch, I guess. But
I didn't buy his last three fights just because I hate him because he doesn't fight. He's just defensive right. and he moves and he doesn't fight. But I had... I sort of had to.
Yeah, what is going on, Jay?
See, I'm used to our podcast. I'm used to our podcast.
Canadian.
Oh, I'm so
Am
sorry.
I right?
Is every? Oh, we're not going to lose listeners because of that.
No, really. They like.
We're going to gain them.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's start swearing.
Is there anything that Manny Pacquiao could have done to win that fight?
Or smiled it- more.
He was well. That was so that happy to lose.
He was the most cheerful human I've ever seen.
He is actually,
about
yeah.
to go into hand-to-hand combat.
He was so happy to lose, coming in with your old pal Jimmy Kimmel with the hat. And,
yeah, that was bizarre.
That was weird.
As I was saying, we were talking on set on Saturday night when we were working during the fight. I couldn't fight in a fight like that because constantly I'd just be wanting to think: do they put the check in my bank account? During the fight? Does the check enter my account
That's a good
after
question.
The fight? Do I have to wait till Monday? So I would have all
he
these questions.
He actually got it. Did you see that? He actually got the check, like $100 million check.
So, which one, Mayweather?
Mayweather. Did.
Mayweather, yeah.
After each round, I'd be asking the trainer, so is it in the account yet?
Do I have finished 12 of it after the first round?
That's right. You get paid by the round.
That's all you'd be thinking about.
The fight wasn't official until like three or four rounds?
Three rounds in. So then at that point, check clears. And then Manny smiling. He's just so happy to lose. And then Jamie Foxx is singing the anthem,
what
and you're like, why
with
is
the
Jamie
national
Fox,
anthem?
Why is he singing the anthem? Can't it just be enough, Jamie, that you're an Oscar-winning actor? Do you have to come in and butcher our national anthem like that?
Kevin, you thought it was terrible, too,
It was
right?
terrible. And
I mean, Kevy.
Kevy.
Yes, Beaner. It was terrible, but I couldn't tell if it was terrible because he couldn't hear the accompanying organ, and the organ was in a different key. I don't know what was going on. He was terrible, yeah. too, though. It was all. I have a little bit of it here.
Oh, so can you see
oh, yeah.
by dawn's
Bring it home.
Light,
Jamie!
What so proudly we hail.
Did he say Proudney?
Right there, I was like,
Proudney.
What's yeah. happening right
he
now?
He said Proudney.
At the twilight's last gleaming.
All right, let me ask you this.
That's not on key, Allie. That's not
that's
on key.
Right.
Is it because Jamie Foxx doesn't have a big voice? He's certainly not Josh Groban, so he's trying to finesse it. He's trying to soul it up a little bit. Is that what's happening here?
I don't know. I think he's trying to Aguilera it.
He's trying to Aguilera it.
Do you guys watch Workaholics?
Yes.
They have a motto. What would Jamie Foxx do?
Mm.
And that's what Jamie Foxx did.
Yeah, it sure is.
It was not good.
No, it was bad. And then did you see this morning that LeBron has come out and said that the reason he stopped wearing his headband is because he wanted to be in solidarity with his teammates, which is the opposite of the reason that he really stopped wearing it. Because he had a hair transplant.
Yeah, you can't touch that new hair.
Yeah, you can't touch the follicles, right? For sure.
So it'll rub it right off.
Nobody's talking about this. He had no hair,
yeah.
and then hair appeared, and everyone's like, oh, I guess it just grew. I guess it just showed up.
I think people just think he's magic.
Yeah, he is somewhat.
You know what I mean? Like, if he wants hair, he can get hair.
He can just grow it.
I like what Wayne Rooney, the striker from Manchester United, did. He was the same thing. And he came on his Instagram, on his Twitter, he step by step, maybe a little too much information, he told everybody exactly what he was doing with his hair
transplant. Here's what I'm doing with my hair
transplant. Yeah, maybe LeBron should have done that instead of making us guess about it all the time.
Well, that's a little bit of a scoop here for us this morning. I had not heard about
it. We're breaking news, folks.
No kidding.
That's what we do. Also, he does not drive that Kia. There's no way he's driving that Kia.
No, him and Blake Griffin, they drive those
driving
Kias
that all around. Blake's all around Manhattan Beach in his Kia just cruising.
Jay and Dan from Fox Sports 1 are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If we can contain their potty mouth, we'll try to have another conversation when we return right after this on K-Rock. Jay Onright, Dan O'Toole are here from Fox Sports 1. They're on every night at 8 o'clock. You guys ready for the breaking news on the royal baby name?
Oh!
This is exciting. Yeah. Just announced. Kevin, I know you're excited. I know you've been looking forward to this. The baby's name is Charlotte Elizabeth Diana Windsor.
Oh, that's
Can't even make fun of that. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. You can call her, can you, for Charlotte, can you call her Charlie?
You can.
I guess you could. Now, I think
Charlie. I don't see them doing that.
Wow, that was uncalled
for. Sure, you
for.
Could.
I think I heard
she's a
that.
Bitch.
No, she's a baby. She's a baby.
But a bitchy baby.
A well, baby bitch.
She spent a lot of time crying.
That'd be a good reality show, like a British reality show. Baby bitch, honey.
So now that baby, because we are Canadian, she is now our ruler.
That's yeah. true.
She will yeah. one day perhaps be your queen.
She could have both yeah. of you killed
if something
today.
Happens to George.
She
right,
probably
exactly.
could if we called her Charlie.
So Jay,
be murdered.
Let me ask you this:
coming
from Canada,
yes.
what did you think of Southern California as a hockey town? You were lucky enough to move to this area when we have two very good hockey teams. With that, had to take some of the sting out of it for you a little bit, right?
I was always impressed. You know, the Kings have such a rich history with the Triple Crown line and Rogge Vachon and so many great players. And, of course, Gretzky shows up because you guys stole him from Edmonton, where I'm from, which
was
I would have done,
saddest,
too.
Is that the saddest day of your entire life,
the worst the part is, you know, how everyone has those moments in history that they remember, the shuttle explosion. Kennedy being assassinated. For Canadians, it's when Gretzky got traded.
You know well, where you were.
Brian on our crew at Fox Sports, it's the closest I've ever seen Jay to punching someone. This happened like 2 weeks ago. He's sitting chatting with Jay before the show. He said, you know when Gretzky got traded from the Oilers, were you upset? And Jay just looked at him.
What kind of question is that?
Yes, I was upset.
I was crying. I was in tears.
By the way, Gretzky was crying.
Yeah.
That's how that went down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you marry an actress like Janet Jones, who has a resume like she does, you want to make sure she gets to Hollywood as soon as possible.
Wow.
Because you've got Police Academy 5, assignment Miami Beach. You have the
American
fourth,
Anthem was a gem
right?
of a movie.
This is it. So you don't want her, you know, to languish in Edmonton when she's got all these roles to play.
Have you found yourself rooting for any American hockey teams since you've been here?
Hell no.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, we don't root for anyone. Beer.
Yeah, we're impartial.
Yeah.
We're professional sports broadcasters.
You're still an Oilers fan, I take it?
Yeah.
You have to be, right?
I grew up with the Oil Drops, so they're the worst team in the league, so I'm
so
still...
So that's good.
Yeah, but we just got this kid, Connor McDavid, and...
We'll take him next year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, not next year, but eventually okay. you will take him.
Were you upset by that?
Did you enjoy 9/11? I mean, they might as well. Jay, when was the last year that a Canadian club won the Stanley Cup?
93, I think. Is that right?
That was Montreal. We were there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin and I were at that
we
one.
We were in Montreal the night they won it.
You were in Montreal?
Yes. Oh,
okay, so
we were at the game.
Shea Patry after?
Or Club Super Sex.
It was Avoid Cars on
fire. Yes, right.
It was a total crazy... I took my jersey off because I wanted to live.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bean and I were high-fiving people that were turning over police cars and setting them on
yeah.
fire.
Yeah, yeah.
A little
they
scary.
Take things pretty seriously there, unless you go to one of the famous strip clubs,
Shoot,
Super
I wish
Sex
I
or
Shea Patry.
Just walk into there, and all your problems will go away for $10 a dance.
quick analysis on the Ducks. Obviously, they seem to be dominating so far, including last night's
Corey
game.
Corey Perry is, yes. He and I share the same hometown of Peterborough, Ontario.
That is not an interesting story.
No. I know, so I thought I'd just throw that in. I'm going to show myself
any
out.
Story.
I'm going to show
any
myself
story
out.
With what, Corey Perry,
yeah,
to
what
be
you
fair.
Don't know is any story that begins with Corey Perry is terrible yes. automatically.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, they look unstoppable right now. I mean, you got Vancouver dispatched, you got Winnipeg dispatched. All these Canadian teams are gone, and now Calgary is in their way.
Up next.
It looks
yeah.
over. Yeah. It's they look amazing. And
so we're all agreeing on Go Blackhawks then.
Well, that's
right. They have a great anthem when they play the anthem in Chicago.
That's going to be that's the series. I mean, that should be the Cup final. It's like Clip Spurs should have been the NBA finals, right? I mean, like that's you get Ducks and Hawks in the final. That would have been
By
great.
The way, have you guys seen the TMZ footage of the Spurs leaving an LA nightclub
no.
after they lost?
No,
it's great. They are bombed. As they should be.
Yeah,
they
why
are.
Would they be?
And
why would you?
They're all piling onto a bus together. It was great. Fun. Oh, Harvey and his footage.
Were you guys watching the Clippers game Saturday night, or too many other things going on?
Oh, no, we were watching. I was really impressed. The other thing that amazes me, Beaner, you were asking me about moving down here. I assumed that when I got here and I would listen to sports radio, it'd be a lot of Clipper talk. Everyone talking Clippers.
Why would you assume that?
There's nobody talks about them ever. It's all, why are the Lakers so awful? Why are the Lakers so, when will Kobe return? When will we get Kevin Love? He's obviously coming here. That's all the discussion. No Clipper talk. So maybe if they get if they win a second round series, we'll talk about
it. Here's the thing about the Clippers, and I'm a huge Laker fan. The Clippers have not deserved to be followed at all for many, many years because of their owner. Now it's turned around.
Fair point.
Now they've
fair
got
point.
A good team on the court. Maybe, you know, but they do have to win.
And a crazy, now they have a crazy owner.
I have a crazy owner.
Yeah, he's eating his fingers.
He is.
And TMZ, I want footage of Steve Ballmer going to bed because there must be tranquilizer darts that have to put him down.
Sleep.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I always compare it to, you remember the old Disney commercial? I'm too excited to sleep. The kid, that's him every night.
He
does seem
he's out of his mind, isn't he?
Yes.
But in a good way.
You
know, talk about the opposite of the last, boy, did I ever sound Canadian there? Yeah, like the complete opposite of the last owner. I mean, he's great. And it's weird when his kid was sitting next to him courtside at Game 7 on Saturday, and you could tell his kid was like, Dad, could you calm down a little bit? This kid's like 20. He's like, Dad, just dial it down a bit.
You don't think you might be that excited if you had $2 billion in the bank, though?
He's got $20 billion in the bank. He spent $2 billion on the team.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right, Beaner. I'd be excited, too. But
that game seven, though, that blew the fight out of the water. And I've experienced a high and then a letdown like that before. At SARS stock. Remember when we had the big SARS scare up in Canada?
Yes.
AC/DC was playing before the Rolling Stones. So AC/DC came out, blew the Rolling Stones out of the water. And that's what happened. Game seven blew the fight out of the water.
Okay,
I've been there before.
So what does that mean?
Do you have SARS or no?
Kevin, I'm really glad that you are understanding what I've dealt with for the last 10 years as a broadcaster.
Is he always speaking nonsense?
Yes, random non sequiturs that really don't relate to the story that we've been talking about.
Corey
Perry from the same hometown.
So Peterborough, Ontario.
So if you were to talk to any of the rest of us, you would say about the Clippers...
It was a great game, all seven. Right. How about that Steve Ballmer?
Do they have what it takes to go the whole way?
Oh. So I was at SARS stock once.
Yeah.
I think they do.
Yeah, well, they've slayed the dragon now, Kevin.
Yeah?
They've slayed the dragon. That's what they need. They needed just that boost of confidence. I mean, Chris Paul, who the Lakers should have probably had.
We should have gone after him.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
Yeah. Had David Stern not poo-pooed that. Yeah.
But who gets by Golden State? Come on.
That's a good question.
That's going to be the series. Golden State. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be great. Bogut's going to be underneath, and Barnes is going to probably kill someone on the court. I can't wait.
Jay on right, Dan O'Toole in studio from Fox Sports 1. You guys have been here for 2 years now. Do you love living in Southern California?
Oh, it's the best.
Here's the biggest thing I found. And you
guys
are
Peterborough story. Get ready.
Your booze is really cheap here. I couldn't believe it. It's so cheap compared to Canada. Every time I'd go to the grocery store,
alcoholics.
I come back with a grocery cart full of booze, and my wife's like, it's not going anywhere. You don't have to buy it all.
But you're not sure. Maybe the prices will go back up.
Exactly.
To
yeah. All right.
Back to Canadian prices.
You have to be safe.
What do you miss the most about Canada?
Nothing. I'm sick of
Tim
that place.
Tim Hortons.
No, yeah, Tim Hortons. Which is basically Dunkin' Donuts, and we have that now in Southern California. So, yeah, so nothing really, Beaner. Not a thing. I mean, my wife often says, don't you miss the seasons? I'm like, F the seasons. I stopped myself.
You
swearing, Kevin.
Nicely done.
I stopped myself.
I was reaching for the button right there.
Usually I say the actual word. But yeah, there's one perfect season in this city, and that's all we need. Who needs any other season?
It's year round.
Well, it's great to have you guys here. You're a lot of fun to watch on the TV. And I remember the first time we had John when you called us from the Olympics.
Sochi.
I think we talked to you. Yeah. We talked to you from Russia, and we definitely wanted to get you back in. So I'm glad we finally did. Super fun, guys.
Congratulations. Was awesome. Thank you guys so much for having us. Really appreciate it. And thanks for having us on after Sochi because I was malnourished and drunk on Russian vodka.
And next time we're back, I'll bring more stories for you.
Please, can't wait. Hilarious actor and comedian Ron Funches joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we will talk to Jimmy Kimmel about his night in Las Vegas, walking out with Manny Pacquiao at the fight, and The Flash himself, actor Grant Gustin. It's all coming up here on KROQ. One big day.
Blah, 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 blah.
Roland?
Yes, Roland.
I was just talking about the Flash being on our show. Is that why you butt in?
No. That's the first interesting thing you've said all morning, though.
What's going on, dude? How are you?
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know what. I don't know why you're here. Why you broke into the broadcast?
Because you're not talking about things that matter to the world.
We like? Just finished talking about the fight.
Here's some Canadian man talking about sports. Ha la 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 la. Are you on in Canada?
Well, no.
We talked about the weenie roast. We gave away front row seats for the weenie
here's
roast.
Here's the weenie. How about it? Here's Vince.
What should we be talking? What should we be talking about, Roland?
What do you think?
The Avengers.
Something to do with that Star Trek lady that died? Roland?
What's that noise?
What are you doing?
I'm growling at you.
There you go. That's better. The other one's just confusing.
What is wrong with you?
Avengers Age of Ultron!
Right, we mentioned that it made $187 million.
You're not talking about the movie, though. One of the greatest movies in the history of cinema.
We were talking about Joss Whedon and how he seemed to get all the characters. Then we're thrown away. What? What are we missing?
A Vision!
What?
The Vision!
The Vision!
On screen, live action for the first time, The Vision!
I don't know what The Vision is,
right? Oh! From hell's heart, I stab at thee!
What is The Vision? Is that another superhero?
Yes, that's another superhero.
I don't know what The Vision is, and I saw the movie.
God damn it. I'm going to come down there.
Okay.
It's just a sound effect.
That phaser for douchebags.
I don't have a phaser.
Do have one.
All right. So,
if I didn't have a phaser, how could I do that?
It's a good point.
Ah.
So Ultron is in this movie, but you're talking about someone else called The Vision.
Oh, sweet Lord in heaven. And the other one saw the movie. He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I saw the movie.
Is he the one that kind of looks like Ed Harris?
Is that the Vision?
Isn't he? He's the one made of like skin and
yes, he's the one made of
and
skin.
Like particles.
He's the character made of skin. Of all those people, he all has right.
Is he the new Avenger that has the cape that joins them in this particular movie? Does he have the cape?
Yes, he has a cape.
Okay,
so that's the one. So Kevin's talking about the right guy.
One by skin, the other one has a cape.
Well, how do you identify the Vision, Roland?
Oh, maybe I would say he's the android that is made up of actual vibranium and also made from real skin from being in the cradle of life.
See? Skin?
That's
with
sort
the
of
mind gem.
That's sort of what we said.
Well, it's half programmed from Jarvis and half programmed from Ultron.
And looks a little like Ed Harris.
Ah!
He does look a little like Ed Harris. That's right.
By the way. The way you describe that with the cradle of life and everything, it makes it sound like a really dumb character.
I will hurt you so badly.
Roland, how many times did you see The Avengers over the weekend?
I've seen it 8 times so far.
That's not possible.
It is possible. I started Thursday night, and I watched it last night as well. And I'm going today to go a couple more times.
Why? Why do you need to see it so many times?
Because you see so many things that you missed the first 7 times around.
I hear Ed Harris is in the film.
You all right?
Now, Kevin, did you have a question for Roland, since now we have somebody who's an Avengers expert on the phone?
At the end of the movie, about halfway through the credits, there's another scene, and it's a guy that looks like Hellboy, for all I know.
Oh, my God.
And he puts his hand. He puts his hand.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And he says, if you want it done, you got to do it yourself. I don't know who that was.
Really?
Hellboy?
Well, that's interesting, because this character has been in Guardians of the Galaxy and The Avengers. Did you see any of those films?
I saw them both, yeah.
How many granola bars did you have when you were watching the movie?
Roland, you're being very hostile about this.
You're
just having fun.
You're being very dumb. Stop being so dumb, and I'll be less hostile.
Like, who was that guy?
That is Thanos.
Thanos.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's...
Oh, my God. He has the Infinity Gauntlet.
Which is...
And he will collect all the Infinity Gems, which allow him to destroy the world. He was the one who put all the things
the
in motion.
He's the one that put all the things in motion. That makes so much sense.
Like, for example, in The Avengers,
Hello?
Right. Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Eddie Ventures.
Kevin, tell me how he set things in motion.
He was looking for those stones that have that unlimited power.
Oh, my God. He was the one who opened the doorway for the aliens that invaded.
Right. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
That's just another way of saying what Kevin said about trying to collect stones.
Oh, you don't, you're not allowed to see these movies
Roland
anymore.
And I enjoyed
you're
it.
You're not allowed to see them anymore.
I liked it.
Rest in peace, Gracely Whitney.
Roland was really upset. I don't know what's
up
with
that.
Be.
People are saying Ed Harris.
So angry.
Paul Bettany played the Vision. You guys are, oh, it looked like Ed Harris.
It did look like Ed Harris.
You know, it looked like Paul Bettany. Yeah. That's who it looked exactly like. You know why? Because it was Paul Bettany's face.
This Ralph is weird, but Ralph, you seem
as upset as Roland.
I was, for the first time ever, I was screaming along with Roland, agreeing
wow.
with him. And you people are just clueless.
Next time Roland comes on with us, I want you to come in and talk to him. Would
I
you
should,
please? Because we need somebody that can hold his own with
usually
Roland.
Usually he's over the top, but he was right on target today, I think.
I have to tell you, for somebody who hasn't seen the Avengers movies, they sound really dumb. I'm not saying that. I know they're great. I understand that they're great movies, but when you hear the descriptions of them, they do sound dumb when you don't see them.
Well,
you should. I was going to say you should see him, but I don't think we want you.
No.
And I don't know how I'm on Ralph's side because he hates me.
Hey, comedian, actor Ron Funches joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock from NBC's Undateable. Very
he
funny
puts the fun
comedian.
In Funches.
I've heard that. I've heard that about Ron. Yeah. Anyway, that's coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on a Monday. What's happening?
We were just talking about Avengers Age of Ultron, and it did pretty well in its opening weekend.
Pretty well.
If you think $187.7 million is good, if that's the kind of thing you're interested in. Crazy numbers. It did not best the first Avengers, however, which opened with $207 million in its opening weekend. So, obviously, it is an abject failure.
Isn't that roughly the same?
Nope. Age of Adeline was second with $6.3 million. Considerably less than number one. Furious 7, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, and Home were the top five movies at the box office. Then Cinderella, Ex Machina, Unfriended, The Longest Ride, and Woman in Gold rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Today is May the 4th, which some people say is Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
Allie McKay.
Yeah, I think all the people say
not
that.
All the people
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Disney announced yesterday that the first merchandise from the upcoming Star Wars The Force Awakens film will be in stores Friday, September the 4th, or Force Friday, as they're calling it. Just in time for the lucrative holiday gift-giving season. So, there you go. Movie itself in theaters December the 18th.
Is that going to make any money?
I think it'll make a couple dollars.
Do you think it'll beat this? $187 million.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it will. It'll be the biggest weekend in movie history. Yeah. That's my prediction anyway. Hey, look at this. There's the Ducks. Hey, Ducks. Congratulations, Ducks. You win hockey games.
Kevin, you on board yet?
You have duck fever? You want to paint it orange?
Die.
What? Die?
So I can see you're undecided.
That seems inappropriate, a response.
Die.
Hey, speaking of ducks, you know the 90-minute Duck Commander musical that is currently playing
that
in Las Vegas?
Die.
It's at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. You know, people love the Duck Dynasty. And now there is the Duck Commander musical that you can see in Vegas. And it opened 2 weeks ago. It's being canceled. The producers announced they're pulling the plug on the show on May the 17th. What, people didn't rush to go see the Duck Dynasty-based musical? That wasn't a good idea? Here's my new business model. I'm going to start a new business called FNO Incorporated. And what you're going to do is you're going to hire me and bring me into your meetings, people. And you're going to sit me down, and I'm going to say, what's going on in your company? You say, well, we're the Rio All Suites Hotel and Casino, and our new plan is we're going to put on an elaborate musical based on Duck Dynasty. And I'm going to sit there and go, F no! And then I will get a check from you, and I'll walk out, and I will save you hundreds of millions of dollars!
That does seem like a bad idea from the very beginning.
They renovated the entire theater for this musical and just launched a huge advertising campaign, and it's a dumb idea. If FNO Incorporated had been there, I could have saved them literally millions of dollars, all for the low, low price of like $450,000. That's my fee.
That's give me a check. Nothing
for that.
Compared
that's
to
nothing.
What they spent.
Nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
Is it possible to write a Duck Dynasty musical that is good?
I suppose anything is possible, but is it likely? What are your odds?
Yeah.
Let's look at, let's break down the odds.
Yeah,
that's from a business decision. Let's look at where is our money best spent?
Yeah, that's a full court shot is what that is.
You have to overcome a lot to make that good.
Yes. Of all the things you can make musicals about, Duck Dynasty, where is that on the list? You know what I do first? I say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy the rights to all of the Monkees songs. The 60s band, the Monkees. I'm going to get their songs, I'm going to get those rights, and I'm going to write a Monkees musical. I'm going to put that at Rio. That's just an idea right at the top of my freaking head.
That's going to last longer than the Duck Dynasty,
you
that's
think?
For sure.
More than 4 weeks?
I think so.
FNO Incorporated.
Why aren't you talking about a Badfinger jukebox musical yet, by the way?
Well, I don't want to...
Tip your hand?
I don't want to give anybody any ideas, and then what am I? I'm left holding the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get a Worst Thumb update?
What do you want to know?
Just if there's anything new, how close
is
are we to...
Is there an update?
There's nothing new. There's nothing, nothing new. Update.
Okay.
No news.
All
right. Let's take a look at... Oh, by the way, I do want to mention again the passing of Grace Lee Whitney. She played Yeoman Rand on the original Star Trek series. A lot of fans. That show sad today as we hear about the passing of Grace Lee Whitney, who spent the last 35 years of her life. She got out of show business and spent all that time helping women get sober in correctional facilities. And with the Salvation Army, she just dedicated herself to others the last half of her life. And it was, by all counts, a remarkable lady. So
Yeoman Rand, by the way. Yeah. Hottest chick ever on Star Trek, right?
Boy, I don't know. They had a lot of hotties. Boy, the 60s were a good time for just flagrant hottiness on television. They would just hot stuff up for no good reason.
Flagrant hottiness, by the way, has been added to Wiener Us.
Just green slave girls, just aliens with the giant pointy breasts for no reason. It was a great series for that. But she certainly was amongst one of the hottest women on Star Trek, for sure. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mick Mars from Motley Crue is 64 years old today. Actor Will Arnett turns 45. Mike Dirnt, bassist for Green Day, is 43. Aaron Andrews. Sports report? Hey, remember that video that was shot through her peephole?
Nope.
Everybody was
that.
She was ironing naked?
Nope.
What the hell was going on with that? What was that all about?
I don't know, but I felt sad for her.
Bean shot it, didn't he? Wasn't Bean the one who shot the video?
You know,
it never came out. But
when we had Aaron in on the show, Ralph, maybe you remember this. It really put a personal face on it. I mean, that is something that she has to deal with every single day. People bring that up to her.
But remember when you said...
no fault of her own.
Remember when you said...
Yeah, remember when you said that?
I feel terrible for her.
It also gave her a career. So there's that.
Yeah.
So to every cloud, there's a silver lining is what I'm saying. Career, not career. Naked ironing? No naked ironing.
I know,
you
but
be
I,
the judge.
I feel
I don't
like
know what any of that meant.
I feel like Aaron Andrews would rather be known for working hard and trying to be a good sports reporter.
Yes, but she's not. So then what happens? Right? If she doesn't have that going for her, then naked ironing, right? That's the answer.
I guess she doesn't bother me as much as she bothers you.
Yeah. Lance Bass is 36 years old. Isn't he in space yet? Is he in space?
I don't
Unfortunately,
think
he's
in space. No. I think I said his ashes into space or something. What was the story?
He's very
that
much
was
alive.
Him.
Yeah.
He's very alive?
Yeah, he's alive still.
Mm. Celebrating a birthday, even.
Yeah, I guess he would be alive if he's 36 years old today. And Ashley Rickards, Jenna from Awkward, she's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
God damn you to hell for requesting that, Allie. I thought people had forgotten about me trying to do Bastille.
Are you kidding? That's beautiful.
Hey, since we are giving away Weenie Roast tickets in the front row all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we may have to bring that bit back. Isn't that where it came from? Is that we were recreating the hits to give away tickets to one of our shows, right?
Yeah.
We may have to do that again. If anyone sees Ron Funches, comedian and actor from NBC's Undateable, please tell him he just missed his appointment on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are trying to get him on the phone. We called him. Unable to get a hold of Ron, so we're still working on that in the other room, and hopefully we'll get Ron up here in a minute. Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, 1 hour from right now, by the way, talking about his night in Las Vegas with Manny Pacquiao as part of the entourage as well. We did this story at 5:30 a.m. one day last week, and we knew at the time that we had to spend a little bit more time with it later in the show when we can get some people on the phone who have experienced what this woman in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania experienced, and that is giving birth when you don't know you're pregnant.
Yay! These stories happen a lot, and our reaction is always the same, which is, how is that possible?
Kevin, you had a wife who was pregnant.
Yes.
Could you tell?
Yes.
Was there anything that was going on in her body that may have given her a clue that she was carrying children?
Yes. That's the point, is it just seems like it's such a huge thing. I don't know how any woman wouldn't know.
All yeah, and not just the size aspect, but all the changes going on in your body.
Yeah, the hormones and everything.
How do you not know?
The tenderness. Yeah, all the things, that the cravings. I mean, all the things that we've all heard about that have to do with pregnancy. I don't know how you miss every single one of those clues. I mean, this woman in Pittsburgh, she realizes she's giving birth, and her boyfriend/husband, it doesn't say, tries to get her to the hospital, and they don't make it. They discover, hey, I'm having a baby. Let's get to the hospital. They jump in the car. They head that way. They don't make it. They pull into the parking lot of a Wendy's.
And they get a Frosty, because those are good. Right?
And she gives birth in the back seat of the car in a Wendy's parking lot. Now, you'll recall when we played the tape from last week, Kevin, she had three small children in the car with her.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't say, but we all assumed that those were probably her kids, because why would you grab somebody else's kids to go to the hospital to have a baby? So we assumed they were her kids. And if they're her kids, doesn't she more than anyone have to know if she's pregnant?
Yeah.
She didn't. She'd been through it before. It's not like this was her first one, is my point.
So we're looking for you, 1-800-5. I'm going to play the news here in a second, but you did not realize you were pregnant. It seems like an impossibility, but here's the news from the woman.
22-year-old Paris Critton gave birth to a healthy baby boy from the privacy of her Hazelwood bathroom. This is where the 911 call came last night after the birth.
Or this is a different story altogether.
Neighbors saw the ambulance and thought someone was sick.
She's a nice girl. I didn't know she was pregnant, though. She wasn't showing or anything like that, so I don't... Surprising to me.
And surprising to the new mom of the 7-pound, 4-ounce baby boy. While many moms who hear these stories can't understand how you don't know you're pregnant, neighbors here defended the new mom and believe her story.
It just goes undetected sometimes, and I just think that it's just an amazing way to have a surprise baby, you know what I mean, to bring somebody in this world.
Paris's mom told me that she was downstairs watching TV and never imagined her daughter was giving birth in the upstairs bathroom. She did say that over the last few months, she told her daughter several times, "You look pregnant."
Thanks, Mom.
No, but what a compliment. In this particular case, she was. So maybe that was a little heads up to her.
But when Mom said, "You look pregnant," why didn't the girl think about it or look into it or say so? I mean, nothing about this makes sense to me. Nothing.
Look, I've never been pregnant. It just seems
what?
Like... It seems like you'd be able to tell. That's all I'm saying.
I would think so, too. And by the way, as delighted as that person who's interviewed, and it, crazy, by the way, that is a completely different news story of somebody else, past 4 weeks who gave birth and didn't know she was pregnant. As excited as that lady was who was being interviewed talking about how amazing it is, it's not amazing. I mean, it's amazing in that it's remarkable, but it's terrible news because that means that child had no prenatal care. For 7 months, 8 months, or 9 months, however long you carried that baby. That means you never went to the doctor, and that's not a cool
deal. But at least you're not ready at all to bring the kid home.
Exactly. Yeah. At least you made no plans, no preparations whatsoever to welcome a child into your home. So if it happened to you or someone close to you, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we speak with our man Jim on line one in Los Angeles to get us started.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You didn't know you were pregnant?
Well, it wasn't me, but it was my ex-wife at the time. Put it this way, I had a child January 3rd, and then the second child came November 21st, both of 94.
Okay, so what you're saying is you had a baby and then immediately got your wife pregnant again, but she didn't know it?
Well, I don't ask me how that happened. Well, I know how it happened, but...
But, Jim, were you with her during that second pregnancy?
Yes, we were. It's like I came home, and my grandma always asked, "Where did you hide it? In your ass?"
I'm very confused.
meaning that your wife didn't show for the second baby.
She did not show nothing. We went to. It was finally I convinced her to let's go to the hospital because something's wrong with you right now. You're in a lot of pain. We go to the hospital, and finally, the guy comes, do the little ultrasound, and you see the little heartbeat. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this can't be happening. We just had a kid not even 10 months ago, you know.
Oh, so like Irish twins is what you had?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So why, I mean, in retrospect, you guys must have had a lot of conversations about this after the second one was born. You must have said to your wife, how did you not know? I mean, did she just assume that her hormones were all over the place because of the newborn, and that's why she didn't attribute them to anything else?
You know, I'm that's what I am assuming. You know, like I said, it was a shock to me. I to this day could not believe it happened.
I will say this. My brother and I are Irish twins, and my mother didn't believe, she was raised very Catholic, that you could get pregnant that soon after you have a baby.
Okay.
So about 7 months in is when she realized that me.
You can.
Yeah. Me was coming.
Jim, were you happy with the news you got that day after the ultrasound?
What do you mean happy with the ultrasound? I was a dad. I was already a dad, but now, hey, you're taking care of two kids now.
But at least your first kid is not a year yet.
So.
You were 21 and your first kid was not 1 year old yet.
Wasn't a year old.
All right.
So, yeah, talk about a shock to me. But, you know, it turned out great. Both my kids are grown men now, and they're both healthy and everything's perfect. So that's a plus.
Well, at least their parents broke up.
Wow, way to go, Bean. Way to turn it south.
After a while, Bean.
Okay, that's all right then. Thank you for calling, Jim. We really, really appreciate it. All right, guys, the phone lines are packed.
Yep.
I mean, look, we see this in the news. We know that this happens, and it happens to our listeners. So please hold on, Nadine. Please hold on, Tom, Bob, Monica, Jude. We will get to you. 1-800-520-1067. You didn't know you were pregnant, and whoops, there's a baby. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. You know how it is. You're a young woman and you got a stomach ache, so you go to the hospital. And the next thing you know, there's a human being clawing his or her way out of your vagina because you don't know you're pregnant. That's how it happens.
Do they claw out? Is that how it works?
I'm not sure exactly. I haven't been there. But 1-800-520-1067. We had a couple of stories in the news recently of people who delivered babies and they didn't even know they were pregnant. We're taking your calls on this topic if it's happened to you or someone close to you. Let's talk to Monica. She's in Los Angeles to get us going on line 5. Vicki, please hang on. Bob and Tom, you as well. We will get to you. Hi, Monica. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
So you didn't know you were pregnant?
No, my friend didn't know she was pregnant.
Ah. Tell us about your friend.
No, one day we were in class and I kept telling her, you look fat.
All right, stop right there. You said to her, you look fat?
No, I was like, oh my, because she's like this 5 foot tall girl. And I was like, you're gaining weight?
Okay.
And she was like, no. It's just in my stomach. And then I told her, yeah, it's just in your stomach, though.
Okay.
And then I told her, you look pregnant. And she's, no, my boyfriend feeds me well. I'm like, no, you look pregnant.
Okay, so she said it's just my stomach, and you said maybe you're pregnant. And she considered that and then said no?
Yeah, she's like, no.
Huh.
My boyfriend feeds me well. I had a big dinner last night. I was like, okay.
A big dinner last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
For everything she had an excuse.
Do you think that maybe she just didn't want to believe that that's the case because she's 17 and the whole deal?
She probably was. I think she was in denial. I'm not sure, but finally my sister took her to Planned Parenthood, and that's where she found out. She was 7 months.
7 months.
Wow. 7 months.
Allie, just like your mom with you.
Yep.
7 months. All right. Thank you very much, Monica. Go Raiders. We appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. All right. Let's talk to Vicki. She's in Los Alamitos. It happened to her. She was the person involved.
Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
How did you not know you were pregnant?
Well, actually, I kind of did, but my doctor told me that I wasn't. I had had my first child in February, C-section.
Okay.
And then by my 6 month checkup, I went back and my doctor said, could you be pregnant? I said, sure. So they did the blood test, the pee test, and they're like, nope, you're not pregnant.
Oh, okay. So in your particular case, then you have a doctor telling you you're not. So you probably dismiss all of the signs along the way.
Right. And because, you know, you're sleep deprived, I was still, you know, painkillers because I had the C-section. you know, and if you're not like a drama person, oh, my stomach hurts, my head hurts, you're just busy taking care of the kids.
Right.
By January, I felt something moving in me.
Did you go back to the doctor and say, how about a second run at this, Doc?
I did. I said, Dr. Kogan, what is up? And he goes, oh, yeah, you're like 5 and a half, 6 months pregnant. You're having a girl. Get ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 2 kids in 15 months.
Now, can I ask you a question? Because I really don't know this. How soon after you have the baby do you then get your monthly visitor back? And would that have been a sign?
It's very sporadic, especially if you're nursing like I was. And they tell you if you're nursing, you can't get pregnant. But obviously you can.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah. And my doctor told me a blood test, even when you're 3-4 weeks pregnant, is not a sure proof fire sign that you're not, you know, pregnant. I was pregnant and the blood test said I wasn't. So
how about that?
My doctor said, you were supposed to come back to me when you didn't have your period in 3 months. And I go, well,
yeah,
okay,
well,
my bad.
You told me I wasn't pregnant.
So no more surprises. You got it all nailed down now?
Oh, yeah. They're 18 and 19. I'm done.
All right. Okay. Good for you. Thank you for the call, Vicki. Appreciate that. Let's do one more. Let's go to Bob. Bob has an interesting story in Orange on line 4, please. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what'd it do, Matthew?
You tell us, man. What's your take on this? You've had it happen in your life.
Yeah. My wife and I were in the process of adopting a child, and, like, we were getting ready and, you know, trying to get a house and all this other stuff. And we get a phone call one day from the agency and says, hey, come on down. You've been chosen. And when we got there, the mom, who was very young, had given birth one day, chose us that night, and then we picked her up the following day. She had no idea she was pregnant, only gained, I think, 8 or 10 pounds.
Wow.
Big came out weighing a perfect 6 pounds, something ounces. No prenatal care, and you would not know.
Completely healthy, huh?
You know, most women gain 8 or 10 pounds a year, whether they're pregnant or not. How did she do that?
I don't know. She was a very active person, always doing things outdoors. And
see, that's why you don't work out. That's important.
Yeah, good point.
How old was the mother?
Early 20s.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally no clue. And, you know, and in fact, I mean, after the birth, she didn't even look like she had a kid.
It is funny. You know, we always we put so much stock, and we should. You might as well be as prepared as you can in prenatal care. But think about the thousands and thousands and thousands of years before there was any prenatal care. And most babies are born pretty healthy kind of on their own, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, we took her to the doctor right away. She was perfect. Now, I mean, that she's in like the 97th percentile of weight and height and everything.
Well, good for you. Congratulations, Bob. Thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Jimmy Kimmel joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning talking about his night in Manny Pacquiao's entourage at the fight in Las Vegas on Saturday. One of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV was Jim walking out there dressed like Reverend Ron. Great news, you guys. We found our guest. Ron Funchess is on the phone. He, of course, one of the stars of Undateable with its live episode tomorrow night at 9 on NBC. He also owns the internet, you know. He's the all-time champion, Kevin, on At Midnight. He's won 9 times on At Midnight.
He has all points?
And he has all the points in the world. Had a very funny stand-up as well. Ron, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show, my friend. How are you?
Great. Thanks for finding me.
It's our pleasure, sir. Hey, our producer Dave said he thinks you might already be rehearsing this morning for the live show tomorrow night. That can't be true. It's too early for you to be up and at work, isn't it?
Oh, you're telling me. But I'm already here. We're working at it. We're going to do a rehearsal for it today and to get ready for the 2 live episodes tomorrow.
Now, I don't know you at all, Ron, but you strike me as a guy who would never intentionally be up before noon.
Yeah, you nailed me. That's pretty much I got into this game to mostly get out of work and not get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
And now that's all I'm doing, and I'm very upset.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a lot more work to do a live episode, even just a half hour, but you're expanding it to an hour and you're doing it twice. How much more work is that?
It's a lot more work. There's like a giant truck parked out front that I think is using up all the electricity, and it's just so many cameras here, and we have to rehearse everything and the transitions and moving from scene to scene. It's too much work. I wish I had agreed to this, but now I'm locked into it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tomorrow, so you're pretty much locked in. Do you approach it as an actor any differently?
Yeah, but I just try to, it's just knowing that we don't have a second take Right. You know? So it's just being more focused and but we're still trying to play around because we like to improv a lot on the show, and so they're just leaving spaces open for us to improvise and knowing that we can't, you know, break and laugh then, or if we do, we have to help each other out of it. It's going to be wild. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Isn't it weird, Ron, to think that you're going to be live on national television and you literally could do anything that you wanted if you were an evil person? I mean, you could say anything. And I guess to a certain extent they have a way to pull the plug on you or something like that. But that has to be tremendous power to wield.
Yeah, it feels good knowing that if I let out probably three, I think they told me that a single curse word costs about $5 million. So if I do about, you know, if I can get a good string going, I can probably bring NBC to its knees.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I hope it works.
This is actor Rod Futcher on the Kevin DeBeach Show. He's one of the stars of Undateable. He plays Shelley. And Shelley doesn't seem, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. He seems like a lot like you, like you're sort of playing yourself a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, just a played up version of me, a little bit more naive, a little bit more upbeat, but there's definitely a lot of me and Shelley for sure.
Yeah. Tell me this, I have heard, true or false, that you are a huge WWE fan.
That is true.
Tell me about that. What was your entry point to the world of wrestling? Is this from the time you were a little kid?
Yeah. I just grew up, my uncle would always take me. I grew up in Chicago, and he'd take me to the Rosemont Horizon, and we'd go see Hulk Hogan versus Earthquake, or Undertaker, and Brutus and Barber Beefcake, and I just love those big characters, and I've always loved it, and still love it now, and now I have some friends that are wrestlers, and it's pretty cool, because it's like I know people who can beat up other people.
There has to be a Funchamania at some point, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's my Twitter avatar. If you go on my Twitter on at Rob Funches, you'll see my Funchamania, and it's running wild. It's slower and a little more stoned than Hulkamania, but it's still running wild.
Now, is there any way, now that you got friends in the game, is there any way that they could write you in, Ron? Like, do you think you could be in someone's corner or play somehow?
I hope so. I think I'd be great at it. I could throw salt or fire, or just distract people with my voluptuous nature. I can do whatever is necessary.
Same.
With my voluptuous nature. Strange choice of words.
I know. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. What are you willing to tell us as we say goodbye, Ron? What are you willing to tell us about who might pop up on Undateable tomorrow night? We already know our friend Mike Catherwood is going to be there. We already know Dr. Drew is going to be on the show playing himself. What else you got for us?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What can I give it? I know there's going to be some, I can't say names, but there'll definitely be some pretty famous musicians on the show.
Okay.
Maybe one to two of them. And there are going to be some famous, some very pretty actresses that I get to interact with. And also, I don't let me say their names. But trust me, you want to tune in and see it. It's going to be great.
I like the fact that you're doing it live to the East Coast, and then you're doing it live again for the West Coast. A lot of times the West Coast gets ripped off on that. The East Coast is live, and then they just show it in the West Coast. So it could still go terribly wrong after you get through it once.
Exactly. Yes. That's the best part. And it'll be different. It'll be different for each show. And we'll do a few different jokes and, you know, things that we learned from the first show and we'll do for the second.
Well, I think make it interesting, Ron, and drink heavily after you're done on the East Coast. You got a couple of hours before the West Coast. That'll really make the second one fun.
I think, okay, I'll do that. Okay, good.
We'll look forward to it. Tomorrow night at 9 on NBC, the show is Undateable. Ron, great to finally have you on the Kevin DeBeach Show, man. Good luck to you.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it. Big fan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brendan Flowers later this week, playing live. Playing live on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're going to get to the showbiz in a second, but first...
And now, a moment with Bean.
How dare you.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What? Wait, what?
I was thinking, I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking he just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yep. That right there, that's my 4-minute mile, you guys.
That happens.
That's it, man. That's going to be on my gravestone.
It's a lot of fun being the guy that can say, what are you talking about?
I like that role.
I should do it more often.
Next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be so much fun. Mm. We're going to talk to Mr. Kimmel. And then Grant Gustin is going to be joining us.
Flash!
He is the actor who plays Flash.
He'll save every one of us.
Tuesday night at 8 on the CW. Very excited about that. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Sad news for sci-fi fans everywhere. Those of us who were weaned on the original Star Trek TV series. One of our favorites, Grace Lee Whitney, has passed away. She, of course, was the smoking hot Yeoman Janice Rand. Yeoman Rand would come in with that futuristic clipboard of hers. She'd be making all kinds of notes on that board.
She had a futuristic clipboard?
She did. She would come up to Kirk and say, Captain, I need your signature on these requisition forms. Like, not now, Janice. I've got Klingons to deal with. And then there was that episode, The Enemy Within, remember? Where Kirk was split into good... Why is the music so loud?
I was just turning it down. I just realized that.
Where Kirk is split into bad Kirk and good Kirk by the transporter?
I don't remember that episode.
Oh, so sweet. And bad Kirk becomes drunky, rapey Kirk for some reason. And he gets, like, loaded up on Tranya or whatever he's drinking those days. And then he breaks into the room and Yeoman Rand. It was like a disturbing episode. He like tries to force himself on her.
She positive you're not dreaming this?
No, it was
no, that happens. That did
classic, classic Yeoman Rand episode.
How does Kevin not notice how loud the music is?
I had no idea.
I did. I was turning it down.
Literally badly. It was screaming, but it was that way for 3 minutes before it actually went down.
What show are you listening to, Kevin?
Big Boy.
Okay. That'd do good work. Anyway, she passed away today. She, for the past 35 years of her life, spent all of her time helping recovering addicts, mostly women, in correctional facilities in the Salvation Army. She was a recovering alcoholic herself and dedicated her life to helping others. So
that's amazing.
Ralph, did she make an appearance in the Star Trek movies as
she did.
Well? Yes. I feel like she did. Okay.
She did. She was brought back for a couple of the original films. And they even had an homage to her. There was a Janice Rand in the first rebooted J.J. Abrams Star Trek as well. A fitting send-off, I think, would be a little piece of what I think of all the Star Trek tribute bands that are out there.
Are there a lot out there?
I think Warp 11 is probably number one. Here's a little piece of their song, simply called Rand.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
You got time for that. You can't listen to how loud
she
the music
had a
is.
Digital clipboard.
Yeah.
As she walked down the hall, and when she looked at the bridge crew, she knew that she could have sex with them all.
Ralph, when we get on the air, how long are you going to spend talking about Yeoman Rand?
That much time? What do you got, Kevin? Got something interesting? Got something you want to interrupt me for?
Just anything else.
Bring it. What do you got?
I'm
what do you got?
Saying,
what's going on?
Movies, Avengers, what?
There's
got to be
now.
Other showbiz. Okay.
Yeah, you're right, because you can't get Avengers news anywhere. Did that come out this weekend? Is that a thing? Avengers number one this weekend, $187.7 million is what it made at the box office this
year. Kevin, I've had it.
Yeah, well, Age of Adeline was second, just behind Avengers, $6.3 million. So a bit of a drop-off between one and two there. Furious 7, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 was fourth, then Home at number five. Cinderella Ex Machina was seventh, Unfriended The Longest Ride, and Woman in Gold at number 10 this weekend. Avengers just missed out on becoming the number one opening box office weekend of all time. That still honor still goes to the original Avengers film. The first one made $207 million. But it did come in ahead of the second best opening weekend, which was Iron Man 3 with $174 million. So good work, Avengers.
How rich do you think Stan Lee is these days? I mean, I don't know what his cut is on these movies
either.
Based on characters he created, but my God.
I don't think it's what you might think.
You don't think really? It's substantial?
No. He's an executive producer, which is largely titular. And they, you know, he's got, they're writing him a check, but he's not making.
But he invented those characters.
Yeah, well,
right?
It was a work for hire. He was working for Timely Comics / Marvel Comics, and he just was cranking stuff out there to keep the, you know, the lights on. It wasn't as if creators,
it's not like
to this day, creators, unless you have a specific deal in the comic book industry where you have creators' rights, I mean, anything that you make for Marvel or DC becomes property of Marvel and DC, and they reap the benefits of that. I mean, the guys who invented Superman famously sold the rights to that character for $500, and their family went back and sued and tried to get additional money, and they did. They got some checks that were written to them over the years, but nothing comparable to what the companies make. So it's a corporate world we live in, man. That's why Kevin's trying to keep me down and make me talk about it. Marvel Comics, because he's got stock. He's got Disney stock.
Something's happening.
He's trying to make it all about him, man. It's all about corporations.
Can't throw that dirt on Yoman Rand's grave fast enough, though, can he?
All she did was spend 35 years of her life helping alcoholics. F her! What about the robot guy that was loud? Talk about him more. Today's celebrity birthday is Ashley Rickards. You know her from Awkward. She plays Jen on that show.
She's adorable.
She is adorable. Lance Bass.
He's adorable.
He was one of the NSYNC boys.
He was.
Yep.
Thank you. 36 years old. Erin Andrews. She is a sports reporter. 37 years old today. I just know she runs after a lot of people trying to get them to eat yogurt or something. I don't know what those commercials are, but she bothers people. Mike Dirnt from Green Day. He's a bassist. He's 43. Will Arnett turns 45 years old today. And Motley Crue guitarist Mick Mars is 64 years old. Does he still play with the band?
He does.
Do they wheel him out sometimes for
Well, they only have, what, seven months left?
Yeah. Sure. Until
they
all over.
Hang it up, yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
A few weeks ago, late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel had boxer Manny Pacquiao on the program, and Jimmy brought up to Manny, hey, you know how Floyd Mayweather always has Bieber in his entourage for the big fights? Well, maybe there's a place for me on your team. Here's a little bit about what that sounded like.
I would love to be a part of your entourage. I really would. Will you consider this?
I will.
Can I be there? Would you like to have me in the ring with you? I'll sing, I'll walk beside you, I'll do whatever I have to.
No, no,
I'll fight Justin Bieber. I don't care what has to happen.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Jimmy Kimmel versus Justin Bieber. Well, apparently Manny thought about it, and apparently at some point Manny said yes, and Saturday night in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, when the fighter was walking out, who was right behind him dressed just like Reverend Run, but our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, James, how are you, sir?
Good. You know, it's a shame that I really specifically said, as I was getting dressed for this fight, I said, I don't want people to think I'm from Run DMC.
Well, everybody, I mean, people could see that you were copying what Bieber was wearing, but with the chain and the hat, it was very Run. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it occurred to me afterwards that, oh, he dresses like Run DMC, but nobody yes. mentioned it.
So, Jim, we have so many questions for you, and God bless you. Thanks so much for coming on. We know how busy you are. But when you brought it up to Manny Pacquiao on the air, the clip we just played, was that the first time you guys had talked about that?
Yes, it was, and I did not expect it to go any further than him, you know, making a joke about it. But after the show, they said, yeah, we'd like to do that. And I was like, okay, great. I guess, and even up until, I have to say, first of all, this was a crazy experience because they come, they bring me back right before the fight. It's really like half an hour before the fight, and security, like not just security, but the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, they come in, and they have strict rules, according to the Nevada State Boxing Commission, about who can and cannot be in there.
Oh, is that right?
And they clear Manny's whole family out of the room. I mean, his mom, everybody, and they said, next person, if we have to take you out, we're going to take you out of here in handcuffs if we have to clear. So they have to figure out who their four people are, the four designated people that are allowed to stay in the dressing room with Manny.
And that's Reverend it. Run was one of them?
Reverend Run somehow made the cut.
Wow.
So, Jimmy, you not only being in your hometown, but I imagine growing up watching all of these great boxing events, what's it like to be on the inside of that hurricane?
Very, very strange. I grew up in Las Vegas, and never could afford to go to any of these fights. But my Uncle Frank was one of these security guards at the fights that would happen at Caesar's Palace, which is where most of them would happen. And you see it on TV. You see all the celebrities gathered around the ring and that sort of thing. But when you're there, it's a whole different. I mean, Rupert Murdoch was sitting right in front of me.
That's weird.
Why was Manny laughing and smiling and looking like he was going to a birthday party walking into the ring? He did not have the eye of the tiger.
I have to say, that would have made me more unsettled, because Manny was very relaxed. And not, I wouldn't even say relaxed. He was excited. It was as if, you know, it's funny, this never occurs to us, but it seemed like he enjoys boxing. And he loves it. And he was excited to get out there. He knew the crowd was on his side, and he was ready to go. And like right before the, like about 3 minutes before we walked out, he's yelling, "Let's get ready to rumble" in the dressing room.
What?
And he's just very upbeat. He's like playfully punching the security guards, and you know, just kind of fooling around and getting warmed up.
All right, Jimmy, let me ask you this about him, because I think if I'm a boxer, that's one thing, but then you get put in that pressure cooker, and it just seems like it would destroy most people. And it seemed like it made him. He was just so happy to be there. He doesn't feel that pressure.
I don't know. He doesn't speak a ton of English, so it was hard to know what was going on. But he looked like he was excited to fight, and I thought that was very interesting. That's not at all what I expected from the movies, you know?
Yeah. Now, did you have any conversation with him backstage ahead of the fight?
Oh, yes. He wanted to see my Justin Bieber hat. It's funny. I had it in the bag, and I brought it in this kind of like shopping bag, and so they wanted to inspect it with security when I came in.
To make sure you weren't bringing drugs in or something,
what
right?
What I didn't realize is somebody had put a big soft pretzel in the bag, too.
Oh, sweet.
I think it was my cousin Sal. So I opened this bag for security, and there's a hat and a soft pretzel.
So when you're walking in, is this you in the moment thinking, how funny would it be if I jump up and down on my feet like I'm the boxer, like I'm prepping to box? Was that a spur of the moment thing, or was that your plan all along?
Well, it wasn't my plan. I had no real plan. I really was skeptical. I didn't think it was going to happen. Like, I thought, well, at the last minute, somebody will push me aside, and this is not going to happen, and this is ridiculous. Why is he a part of this nonsense?
I rewound it and watched it probably 30 times, and I think that you were mirroring him as he kind of bounced up and down, walking up the aisles.
I was trying to bounce in tempo with him.
That, yeah. I thought you were.
Well done.
Here's another thing.
Is it weird
happened.
That I know that?
So I was like, I was nervous, you know, as I didn't want to be in the wrong place, and I didn't want to be like a jerk. So I stayed towards the back of his entourage. I figured, you know, I'm not going to, you know, his trainer has worked for this, you know, these guys are working this moment. So we get about halfway down the tunnel, and Manny says, he says something to somebody, and then they say to me, he wants you behind him.
All right. Speaking of the tunnel, Jim, and I haven't heard anybody ask this or talk about this at all. Freddie Roach stopped you guys as you were entering the arena to take a selfie. Was that some sort of Samsung promotion? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know what was going on. It just happened, and I was surprised by it. I really was, but I think it kind of fit into the spirit of these guys being confident and relaxed. You know, it's funny. I've been to many award shows, and I've been the host of many award shows, and I've helped host and written for them and just been there. I've never seen an award show host as relaxed as Pacquiao was before this fight.
That's so
and
weird.
None of those guys get punched.
Right.
Jimmy, did you watch it back and see yourself and see how in the zone you were, and then see how frivolous it looked that Manny was looking? He looked like he was going, like you said, to a kid's party, and there would be a pony there.
Yeah, Jimmy looked like he was going to fight.
Yes!
I actually didn't see. I haven't seen it, so I've only seen still photographs of it online.
What did they do with you once you guys got in the arena? Because I lost track of you, and I kept scanning the crowd to see where your seats were, and I couldn't find you.
Well, my wife said that she didn't see me in the ring, but I was in the ring.
What?
I went into the ring until moments before the fight. I was in there when Mayweather's camp entered the ring.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people in the corner at that point, I guess, but I never saw where they ended up putting you. Did you have good seats for the fight?
Yeah, I had good seats. I was right behind the camera, so...
Gotcha. How did you get kicked out? Did somebody go, hey, you don't belong here?
No, as a matter of fact, I was like, all right, I got to get out of the ring. This is like serious now, and I'm taking up room, and you know they're pushing us back into the corner, and Manny's back in this corner. I said, I got to get out of the ring. So I start to get out of the ring, and they grabbed me, and I got out of the ring. They pulled me back into the ring.
What? It's crazy.
At a certain point, I thought I might have to defend myself. What a great prank that would have been if they kept me in the ring, and then I realized I was fighting Floyd Mayweather.
That would have been great. Yeah. How sad were you personally to see Manny lose that fight?
Very sad.
Do you believe that he thought he won?
Oh, yeah.
He said
sure
that afterwards.
I do.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, I mean, listen, Mayweather's a great fighter and all of that stuff, but to me, there's no such thing as a defensive fighter. It's like being a defensive marathon runner. You got to fight if you're a fighter. And
he's always been that way, though. He's
I know. I hate that style of fighting. I thought Manny was more aggressive. I thought Manny tried to mix it up more, and I think that's at least from a fan standpoint. I know from the standpoint of the sport and the purity of the sport that's mm-hmm. boxing, but I have no interest in seeing that. And I thought that, you know, you can give a round to a guy on a slight margin, and then there are other rounds that you feel like guys win decisively, and I felt like Manny won more of the decisive rounds than Mayweather did. But, you know, of course, you know, I'm biased, and I was hoping for Manny to win, but it looked like Manny wanted to fight, and Floyd wanted to backpedal.
That's right. That's what Floyd does.
And unfortunately, there aren't enough people who agree with you, Jimmy, I think, to get any kind of real talk about a rematch, right? There's no reason kind of for that to happen, right?
Well, I don't think, you know, the only reason for a rematch is the fighters want to do it, and they want to either prove something or make money. And I would not be at all surprised, especially seeing Floyd charmingly flash his $100 million check if these guys decided to do it again.
You've been in show business a long time. As you mentioned, you've been involved in a lot of nonsense. How does this rank in your top 10 of all-time nonsense, Jim?
Well, as nonsensical it is, nothing will ever top my farewell at K-Rock, where we played a rematch of basketball against a midget basketball.
So that's still number one.
Still number one, okay. And will probably never be topped.
Well, you won the internet on Saturday night. We just couldn't believe it, Jimmy. I mean, that it actually came through. It was so funny, dude. So congratulations. I'm sorry Manny lost the fight, but I'm glad you had a good time anyway.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Do you think Reverend Run would have gone back up in the ring had Manny won?
Well, I don't think so, no. Okay. Reverend Run had already overstayed his welcome.
Jim, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:25.
You guys going to be okay with this interview? Yeah. To hose you down? You going to be all right?
Stop
you can behave?
It. Stop it. I can't help it. I'm excited.
I know you are.
He's
I know
the
how
fastest
much...
man in the world, Bean.
I know that. I know how much you've been looking forward to it. Tuesday night at 8 on the CW, of course, is The Flash. We are very excited to welcome to the program. Is this for the first time ever, Ralph? Grant Gustin joins us. The Flash himself,
hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Grant.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Grant, not to fanboy out on you, but I'm telling you, The Flash, best comic book property going today. I love this TV show.
Oh, thanks, dude. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
I'm a hardcore geek, and it's just satisfying on every level. You guys are really doing it right.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Tell me about going into it at the beginning of the season versus now. Like, do you feel, now that you've had a full season behind you, that you've done it well and you're getting some support?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone's been really excited about it all year, which has been really cool. And, I mean, when it first started, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was a little intimidated that I was playing this character and a little surprised. But now, I mean, I feel like I'm in the skin and I'm having a lot of fun and people are loving the show. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
It's hard to believe, Grant, that it's just been one season because you guys have covered so much territory.
Tell me about it. Yeah, we've covered a lot.
Now, when you say you were intimidated, meaning that you know that there are decades of fans of The Flash and they all kind of have their impression of what he should look like on their screen, right?
Right, yeah, and social media is a thing, so anybody can tell me what they think at any given time.
Tell me about some of the tweets that you get, by the way. Tell me about the tweets that you get from people who hate you and hate what you're doing on the show, because that must be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, well, to be honest, that was a lot of my experience back in the day when I was doing Glee, because I was playing a character that was really unlikable, and so that's why I was so scared going into this. But it's been really positive, actually. I've done a really good job of not paying attention to the negative stuff, because the positive stuff has been so overwhelming. And I mean, I really don't see that many negative things said about the show in general, which is amazing.
But you guys had a pretty good pedigree coming off of the gang that put Arrow together and giving you sort of a launching pad there with that show. And Greg Bertolani and those guys are just fantastic to work with, I can imagine.
Right. Well, I think they, you know, they're, Greg Berlanti is like the busiest man in Hollywood, and he is also like the smartest, and we trust them so much, and he's the reason that we have the show that we have. And yeah, I mean, going into it, that was the reason that I felt confident about it, was because Greg Berlanti and Jeff Johns and Andrew Kreisberg are just like the perfect guys to be making this show.
You know what you're great at is being
running.
And running,
pretty good at that.
is being confused and like having to figure it out along the way. Like you're good at not understanding what you're not supposed to understand yet. So there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that flies at you, and you don't
sound like
it
would be Kevin's hero, doesn't it?
No, I mean, you don't telegraph stuff.
It's more fun as an actor to like discover things and for the audience to see the characters discover things, and that's how it's, you know, the script is constructed. These guys know what they're doing.
See, Grant, it's just a fun character. Grant is being nice
to me.
You're
a good actor, Grant.
Yeah, nice man.
Kevin is asking. You pretend good like you don't know things.
No, I'm saying a lot of times you can sort of give away that you know, or it's not genuine, and you really are good at that. It was supposed to be a compliment.
Ask Grant why his head looks so empty, Kevin. Why don't you just do that?
How dare you?
And now we know about Eobard Thawne. We've got the Reverse Flash. I mean, it's all out in the open. Now the gloves are off. And I'm assuming by tonight's episode, looks like Gorilla Grodd comes into the picture along with the Reverse Flash, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were, everyone, I think, in the cast was looking forward to shooting this episode the whole season just for Grodd to be a big part of an episode. And I've been looking forward to seeing it for a while. I mean, Dermot Downs directed this one, and he loves working on the show, and we all had fun together, and the special effects are just next level in this episode. So I can't wait.
Not to be an idiot, but somebody explain Gorilla Grodd to me, please.
Well, I was going to say, Grant, I think you guys are very bold and brave to sort of take on this character, because it's a huge part of the Flash mythos from the comic books, but it is a telepathic, highly advanced gorilla as a supervillain, and to put that on television in a real sort of situation is pretty brave.
Right. Well, I think it's been a nice build up this whole first season, though, of kind of embracing the comic book lore and everything, and no part of it is going to feel like, oh, they went there. Because you know, it's been a really nice gradual build, I think, and it is a Grodd episode, but it's still just going to be. You're going to see more of Grodd, you know, later, season two and season three and whatnot. But, like, for this episode, it's the first time we're getting really good looks at him and finding out what he's really about initially. And then there will be plenty more of him to come in the future.
And I think more than any comic book TV show, you guys really have embraced the rogues gallery of The Flash and brought those villains to life in a very believable, fun way that's satisfying for comic book fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think next to, for comic book fans, I think they'd agree that next to Batman, Flash has, like, the coolest rogues gallery.
Absolutely,
some of the same villains from that rogues gallery as well. And it's been fun, and they've done a really good job of tying it all in with the particle accelerator explosion and making it kind of our Flash's own thing and their own origin stories, but still true to who they are in the comics. And yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. Wentworth Miller,
Bold,
and I mean, there's just been so many cool villains on the show.
How fun is it to hear how excited and how enjoyable this job is for Grant? It's really kind of cool, isn't it? I mean, you really seem like you're super into it, and that's so refreshing. You know, a lot of people,
I grew up loving Chris Reeve as Superman, and I wasn't necessarily reading other comics, but I mean, what kid growing up in America didn't like kind of love superheroes? And I was obsessed with Chris Reeve, and I mean, I keep saying that this isn't even like a dream come true. This is something I could have never imagined or never fathomed. So I feel pretty lucky every day. Even in the 14th, 15th hour of a grueling day, I can feel pretty lucky at any given time.
Well, congratulations, man. You guys are all doing great work over there. We really enjoy the show. Tuesday nights at 8 on the CW. Before we let Grant go, Kevin, you have any more questions?
I don't know. You're just trying to embarrass me? No, I don't.
Not at all.
I like the show. I don't understand a lot of it.
You might have a good one in the chamber.
You
You're just ready.
Make you look go fast.
Keep watching. It'll all make sense.
Thank you. I will.
Thank you, Grant. We enjoyed it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Hey, of course, the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015 is sold out. Thank you to everybody who bought tickets on Friday, but that doesn't mean you can't go Saturday, May 16th at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, because we've got them for you in the front row all week long on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. I think we're doing it at the top of every hour. Is that right, from 9 to 5?
I believe so, yep.
Pretty good deal. Get all the details at K-Rock.com, and good luck. Hope you win. Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Not even in the top 10, Charlotte, by the way, for prospective names for William and Kate's baby.
Well, you're saying nobody guessed that that was a possibility?
Look at the betting sites. They had 10 names you could bet on for William and Kate's baby.
Is one of them whore?
Charlotte.
Why would you say that about an infant?
It's a newborn child.
Why would you say that, Kevin? Why would you call
family.
A baby a whore?
I hate everything about that family.
But it's a baby,
yeah,
right?
No, I'm not really calling her a whore. You know that, right? Because she can't hear. What's wrong with you?
She's a deaf baby? You wish deafness on her. That's what you're saying.
She's a bitch.
She's not a bitch. She's just a tiny little newborn baby.
Wow, she's 2 days old. She's already been called a whore.
Nice.
Jeez, Kevin.
Wow.
I'm surprised nobody thought of Charlotte.
Is the British betting sites have a list of prospective names you could have bet on? Alice was the favorite, going off at 11-4. Oh, wait a minute. Charlotte was second. Never mind. I looked up and down this list. I didn't see Charlotte anywhere, and then boom, it's right there at number two. 3-1. At 3-1. So if you bet Charlotte, you made yourself a couple bucks.
Charlotte is Pippa's middle name, by the way.
Sure.
Wonder where that came from. Yeah.
Right.
Olivia Pippa was third. Victoria, Elizabeth, Alexandra, or Diana was sixth. Mary, Rose, Frances, or Grace was eighth. Carolyn, Matilda, or Florence was ninth. And then Harriet or Catherine. The long shots. Boy, Harriet would have sucked for everyone involved.
It's unbelievable how traditional that list is.
Yes. You're not getting Anaconda or Fruit right. Loop or any of the showbizzy kind of names.
Yep.
Moxie Crime Fighter, not on
none
the
of
list.
That.
None of that BS. The House of Windsor or whatever they are.
That's what they are.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Avengers Age of Ultron, as expected, totally dominated the weekend box office, dominated like those Ultron robots. Pew, pew, pew. I have a bow and arrow. Pew, I'm still blowing up robots. Pew. Huh. It's awesome. Made $187.7 million at the box office. Came short of the record, which was $207 million set by the previous Avengers film, but still not too shabby. It is now the second highest opening weekend in movie history. Age of Adeline was second. Furious 7 was third. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Fourth, Home was at number 5. Then Cinderella Ex Machina, Unfriended, The Longest Ride, and Woman in Gold were your top 10 movies at the box office. Hey, look, here's those ducks. Hey, ducks.
Wow.
Hi, guys.
Are they still scoring? They score again on Calgary during that report?
They scored again, yes.
I, as a broadcaster, can in no way condone this.
Good news, if you're in Pompano Beach, Florida, later this month at the Crazy Horse Gentlemen's Club, you'll be able to see a performance by Mama June Shannon from Honey Boo Boo.
Just an appearance, right? She's not going to strip.
Or is she? Will she be working the pole, showing off her goodies?
Please, God, no.
No. No, she's going to show up hosting a VIP event at the Crazy Horse there in Pompano Beach. You know, they roll at the red carpet there at the Crazy Horse Gentlemen's Club. Really. The VIP treatment there is just exceptional. You get a bag of pretzels and a bag of peanuts along with your watered-down cocktail.
I mean, I guess since they're not making the Honey Boo Boo TV show anymore,
Mama's got to earn.
Yep. I mean, she's got to start looking for additional revenue streams.
And she is pulling in a pretty nifty $5,500 for this appearance. She's getting the cool $5,500 right there. Boom. Cha-ching.
Okay. She's keeping her clothes on.
Right. She took her clothes off. She would make $1,000. She would make less money.
That's going to buy a lot of Red Hot Cheetos or whatever she has in that jar.
Where is she keeping her food these days? In a drawer?
I feel like my mouth was trying to say drawer, but I knew it was jar. It just wasn't coming out right.
Well, drawer sure came out.
Yeah.
She's lost 45 pounds, so maybe it's time for her to start stripping. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Maybe not yet.
Remember how U2 was supposed to be the week-long resident band on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show before Bono had his bike accident?
Yes.
Well, they'll be back on the show Friday as the only guest for the hour. U2's Innocence and Experience Arena Tour begins on May 14th in Vancouver. So to celebrate, they are going to be on the Jimmy Fallon show for the whole hour. I wonder if Jimmy will get up and sing with them. You think there's any chance that he'll get up and sing with the band?
100%.
Usually he doesn't like to show off and sing.
He'll sing Bono's parts, too. Like just only
he's going to push him out of the
way.
He's
going to push him out of the way and say, let me take
this. Bike. Yep. Say, I got this.
I got it.
Remember the time where he got in front of his band and just sang straight up YouTube covers, like no irony or comedy about it?
Yep.
That happened.
Get more those tape recorders queued up.
Yeah, get those tape recorders queued up.
That's a good tip.
Get your tape recorder and hold it up to the speaker of your television and record it.
That's how you record stuff now.
Speaking of television, do a little program reminder. Tonight on HBO, Montage of Heck, the Kurt Cobain documentary, premieres tonight on HBO, so you can check that out.
Super good, you guys.
We had the director, Brett Morgan, on the show last week, and talked about it extensively. Also, there's going to be a soundtrack album out this summer based on that documentary. Brett has had access to more than 200 hours of previously unreleased musical audio from Kurt's archives for the film, and he is going to put together an album so you can hear some of Kurt's music that was never before released.
And a Beatles cover, too, right?
Yeah, right.
And a Lover, yeah. Big night on TV, because we got the Gotham finale tonight for the season, which you guys have already seen, right?
Yes, which is great.
It's amazing. It really is the culmination of everything that's been going on in that show so far.
And at 9:30 tonight on CBS is the primetime David Letterman special, hosted by Ray Romano, with a bunch of clips from him. It looks terrific.
Come on! Too much television!
Yeah, big night.
Let me breathe! Last night, Mad Men. Oh, my God, Mad Men! What an episode last night.
Only two left, Ralph. I'm getting pre-sad.
I know. And Joan last night, man, that was something else. Did not see that coming. Did you, Kevin? Did you see that coming with Joan? Were you surprised?
No. Absolutely not.
And then Veep. And then Veep made me cry with laughter again last night. Boy, that show is just so good.
Kevin, you still have time to binge watch all seven seasons of Mad Men before the finale if you want to be current.
Get
right on that.
How about Roger playing the organ? In the empty suite.
Not a euphemism, by the way.
I was going to say,
Playing there and Peggy just roller skating around. It was surreal. It was Sir Mother Effin' Real. Great stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ashley Rickards, Jenna from Awkward's, 23 years old today. Lance Bass. He is a Soviet spaceman, if I'm not mistaken. He's an astronaut, 36 years old. Sports reporter. Aaron Andrews is 37 years old. Mike Durnt, Green Day bassist. 43 years old. Will Arnett, Batman. He's Batman. He's 45 years old. And Mick Mars from Motley Crue celebrates his 64th birthday today. On today, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
And also with you, Ralph.
Give each other the sign of 4th.
What's the sign of 4th?
Exactly. This?
Four, okay.
Speaking of Star Wars and things sci-fi, also a mention of the late, great Grace Lee Whitney, who played Yeoman Rand on Star Trek. She passed away this week at the age of 85 years old. We don't know why, but Kevin hates her like he hates the royal family. We're still trying to figure that out. But
she's not a whore, too?
Rest in peace, Grace Lee Whitney.
Hate her at all.
No, she's not a newborn. She can't be a whore.
Hate her at all.
Kevin reserves that for babies.
For babies. Baby is almost 48 hours old.
I'm Ralph Garman. The ship is beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Ming-Na Wen in the studio.
What
just happened?
Agent May!
Yes.
She's awesome.
She's the best.
We also have
so much ass.
Badass. Schmidt from New Girl. Max Greenfield will be here, and we've got your tickets in the front row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta.
Max is a whore.
That's true.